Weekend Confirmed is brought to you by the Gamefly app, the must-have app for gamers. The app is free and available now for iPhone, Android, and Palm mobile devices.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Weekend Confirmed.
Ignition. Liftoff. Liftoff.
Happy holidays, everybody. Welcome to the Weekend Confirmed Holiday Special, which I'm joined by probably the most attractive panel here at the table I've ever
Garnet.
Had.
Thanks, man.
I really appreciate that.
I know. It's amazing. Over there in the announcer's booth, that would be Mr. Jeff Cannata.
What?
That's my announcer's booth.
What? Can you do a sponsor phrase. Message?
This episode is brought to you by drinking. Drinking. It's your friend when you don't have any.
Oh, no.
Across from me is James Stevenson from Insomniac. Woo! You guys ready to bring the full moon back?
Yeah, we're going to bring it back next year. That's going to be fun. We're going to talk some Overstrike. It's going to be good.
Excellent.
Oh, I'm excited for Overstrike.
Dun, 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 dun. Dun, dun, dun. Anyway, they're bringing the 70s action sitcom theme back to gaming.
It's yeah? Set in the 70s.
Okay. It's about time.
No, it's near future.
But I mean the 70s meme, you know, team, crazy guys.
Four-player co-op. Everyone loves four-player co-op.
Sexy.
Yeah.
Like the rest of our panel.
Two sexy Uh-oh. Chicks, two
Uh-oh.
Sexy dudes.
What? Did
That's right.
you just go there?
I did. Uh-huh. I have next to me on my left, in the left-hand seat.
Yes.
Miss Ariel Angelotti.
Yes, one and two T's.
Nice.
Hello.
One and two D's.
Nicely done.
Welcome back to the United States.
Yes, thank you.
And from Clever Games, Andrea Renee.
What's up, guys?
Who is officially part of the team.
Yay.
You're part of the team.
I love being part of this team. You guys are awesome.
This is the holiday episode,
it
so
is.
There is drinking, but I want to make sure that both of them each have their own cup.
Two rolls, two cups.
Whoa!
Oh, Rod,
whoa!
That is so hard.
I just want to make sure that
I want you to all appreciate that. Fucking Jeff Cannata just went there at the beginning of the holiday. Jeff,
that was just a courtesy.
Who are you?
Merry
it's
Christmas,
just a,
everybody!
It's a
Merry
for drinking.
Christmas!
How much have you had already, man?
The only person without a cup, though, is Jeff. Everyone else has a cup. Jeff has a bottle.
I do. I had a cup earlier.
He's going on a road trip.
True.
He's going on a road. You know what I mean?
That's the best time to get drunk is when you're about to get on a plane. I mean, unless you get too drunk and you get kicked off your plane, which is not good.
Yeah. I mean, like rim executives?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Or what was it? Was it Alec Baldwin?
Yeah.
Also on
Alec
the team.
Baldwin with some Angry Bird action.
And,
no, it was Words with Friends.
It was Words with Friends. That's right. Yeah. You're right.
Also on the team, one of you out there listening, games. Because this is definitely and has always and will always be a community show. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate all of your support. And, you know, I read everything, and sometimes I take a little personal, even when you guys are complaining. But especially at the holiday time, always makes me really feel good inside when you guys give us your stories and contribute and be part of the show. And it's very exciting to do that. So I want to start off right off the bat. We have several stories from you. I'm going to kick it off with one from Light Gamete or Light Game Tea. I'm not sure which one it's supposed to be. You have to send in pronunciation keys. Here's Light Game T's story. It said, I asked for an N64 after seeing that literally everyone I knew was going to get one. And after playing it at one of my friend's house, I knew it was something I desperately needed. After much begging and working my ass off to prove to them that I was a good boy, evil grin. I love how you put the EG in there. Gotta have that in there. We made a compromise saying it'd be also my birthday present. I didn't care because the deal was only sweetened as they, being his parents, said that they'd also throw in two games of my choice. I was ecstatic and decided on my two games of choice. They would be Diddy Kong Racing, Screw Mario Kart, Diddy Kong was where it's at, and Rampage. Yeah, Rampage, shut up. I was a stupid kid.
I was also that stupid kid at one point, by the way.
Rampage?
Yeah.
N64 era Rampage or earlier?
Oh, N64. But Diddy Kong Racing was
arcade.
Awesome.
Arcade Rampage.
Diddy Kong Racing was the...
Oh, arcade,
but it took everything from Mario Kart.
Eh.
But it added planes and boats and lots of cool shit and more collectibles too around the course.
The collectibles.
Touche.
So anyway, come Christmas time, I see this huge fucking box under the tree. By the way, when you're that age, you really shouldn't be saying fucking. I mean, I don't think it's appropriate for a child your age. Box on the tree, and my reaction was something like the N64 kid, but way crazier. And after much kisses, hugs, thank yous to my parents, I ran and ripped the gift wrapped off to see my beautiful N64, which was not a Red Ryder BB gun, but I did sort of picture him like looking at a Red Ryder BB gun. While my sister opened up the games, first was Diddy Kong Racing to my delight, but the second game was some game I'd never heard of. Apparently my dad forgot what the second game of choice was, so he just asked the Toys R Us employee what was popular.
Never a good idea.
She suggested this really expensive game that was totally the last copy because someone had pre-ordered it but never came to claim it. So I was happy for the N64 and Diddy Kong, but was devastated at the same time. I even asked if he could return it. Man, was I an ungrateful brat. My dad told me to at least try it, so not wanting to hurt my dad's feelings, I turned off Diddy Kong, put in the second game, and played it while he watched. I played a good while, but there was a point where I met a giant spider. And that scared the crap out of me. So I said, nope, and put Diddy Kong back on. Now, luckily at this point, my parents were back in bed sleeping. So my sister and I played Diddy Kong throughout the whole Christmas day, as well as the rest of our break.
Wait, what was the second game?
Wait for it.
This is called dramatic tension. Okay. Dramatic tension.
Damn it. Can't
read
it.
Ahead. You have it in front of you, for fuck's sake.
I'm reading ahead right now.
No, don't read ahead.
Well, don't tell anyone, but
actually
read
just deduce it. It's easy to deduce.
Giant spider.
What game has a giant spider early? Don't say it.
Okay.
Continue reading, Garnet.
Okay.
Da-da-da-da.
Oh, spoiler alert.
That's my thought.
Break ends, and I go to school, and my classmates and I talk about the presents we got. Naturally. When I told them the games I got, they halted. Seeing the reaction, I knew they were jealous of Diddy Kong Racing. So I told them, Diddy Kong Racing, not up to borrow. Boy, was I wrong. They didn't give a rat's ass about Diddy. Sounds like modern era. No one gives a rat's ass about Diddy anymore. My classmates wanted more info on the second game and started going bananas, telling me I was stupid for not playing it and asking me if they could borrow it. At this point, it dawns on me that the second game I got was a big deal, and it wasn't until I read some gaming magazines that I realized I held a gaming messiah. Oh, and if you didn't already guess, that game was Zelda Ocarina of Time, one of my favorite games of all times. P.S. I chickened out badly when I met the redheads.
He means like the Guru of Valley. He means this one, Andrea.
This one? This one right here?
Yes, when he met me, he became very scared.
You probably scare a lot of men, don't you?
I'm very intimidating.
They're like, oh, I can't speak anymore. Didn't end up beating the game until a good 7 years later. I was a sensitive child.
What?
I was a sensitive child.
It took him 7 years to beat that game?
That's a long-ass time.
I remember playing that game for the first time. I was pretty young at the time. And I just remember my heart beating so quickly during the boss fights that I had trouble like almost breathing. I'd like pause.
Pretty intense.
I have an awesome holiday story about this exact game.
I have one about this game. I've told it before, so you go ahead and tell yours.
So this game came out right before Thanksgiving, if anyone remembers. And it was the week of Thanksgiving. And I remember, I think I had it pre-ordered from Amazon back when Amazon was new.
Whoa.
But I was like, oh shit, it's not going to get here. Who knows when it's actually going to show up. This is 97, I believe.
Yeah, like not yeah.
This is like literally the beginning of Amazon. So
Amazon was just a river back then.
I lived in Norfolk, Nebraska, and
it wasn't even the Nile.
My uncle and I decided to go out to the only place that was open at midnight to pick it up, which was Walmart. And we drove, and he's only about 5 years older than me, and I was, 13 at the time. So we drive to Walmart. It's a snowy, icy night in Nebraska. We drive my grandma's car that has no brakes, which we don't realize until we're out there. We drive out to Walmart. There's a huge line of people to pick this game up at midnight in the middle of a 25,000-person town in North Nebraska. Get the game. We drive home with no brakes, coming down these hills that are covered in ice, blowing through red lights and stop signs because we can't stop the car, looking for other cars and gunning it. Fortunately, it's the middle of the night in Norfolk, Nebraska, so no one's on the road. And we get home, and I think we stayed up till 4 a.m., and I played it the rest of the time. My favorite part, though, is I decided, oh, I can't wait for my copy on Amazon. UPS shows up about 10 a.m. that morning with my copy from Amazon. And I was like, ah, shit. So I turned around and sent it right back. But I always remember that Thanksgiving very vividly because we were sitting there at like 1 a.m.
You got the gold cartridge, right?
Plugged in. No, it was a gray cartridge because I didn't have it pre-ordered. I forwent my pre-order so that I could play it at midnight. I eventually did later get a gold cartridge. But at that time, I was like, fuck the gold cartridge. I got to play this at 12:01 a.m. And I did.
And now you can pre-order games and then pick them up at midnight.
I just want to say,
Amazon just shows up.
Before we get too far away from the story we just heard from the guy who wrote in, he's kind of the guy. I mean, I appreciate him writing in the story, and it's a fun story.
Light game tea or
light game tea.
Gamut.
But he's kind of the kid that was a little annoying because like he didn't care about that game, but then when other people started caring about that game. He was like, oh, wait, no, you can't borrow that. I want
to play that. Maybe
they're
just opening his eyes. Maybe they're just opening his eyes to it.
I want
to
play that 7 years from now.
I'm more of that school of thought of the opening the eyes because there's been many great games that I never would have played unless someone's like, you should play this game. And I don't think that makes you a bad person. I think there's just too many games out there to know.
But there's some kid at his school whose dad couldn't afford the $90 game. And he knew what
was
he was missing.
Was it 90? I don't remember it being 90. I remember 60, but... I just could be totally wrong.
I had that game pre-ordered for like
years. All he wanted
years.
To do was borrow
the gold cartridge was pricey.
But
it was a pre-order. You had to pre-order to get the gold cartridge. That was how you got the gold cartridge.
I sold mine when I was in college and poor. I no longer have it.
I mean, we could have that now, but you sold it?
I don't think it was for very much money.
Probably not. The value of those dip and then come back.
Yeah.
I didn't play Ocarina of Time until I played it emulated on my PC.
Ooh.
Oh, you're the dolphin guy now.
I didn't play it until I played it on my 3DS.
Wow. So that was like 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a very fresh Ocarina of Time.
How does
Billy would endorse that.
I'm going to get a lot of fire for this, but I've never been a Zelda fan. I'm sorry.
Hate freedom in America and all things good.
I hate freedom in America. Yes, that's exactly right. No, I just, nothing, I've tried to like it.
I will go out here right now. Ocarina of Time is still the greatest video game ever made.
I think I might agree with you.
Have you played Wind Waker?
No.
You should.
Is Ocarina of Time the first?
I'm a disciple
of
Wind Waker, no. which I realize is you know, like people take sides on Wind Waker.
I love Wind Waker.
Wind Waker's fantastic.
I love it.
I loved Wind Waker.
I know sides of this room. We're
I have Skyward Sword at my house, and I'm gonna play it
over break.
And give Zelda another.
Yeah, we haven't got that game.
I haven't been able to play it.
Oh, dude, it's
Old
so
Republic
good.
And Skyrim.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all about Skyrim right now.
But so we still have Old Republic chat coming later. We're going to let you guys, because these two guys over here are chomping at the bit to like get their Jedi on.
Yeah. I
We're
literally
do
have just been going around my house whistling Star Wars songs. That's how.
I haven't been this
Not
in
that
Star
one.
Wars since Revenge of the Sith.
That's a good one.
I know. Yeah.
That's the only one. What other Star Wars songs are there? Like,
oh,
like,
well, the like beautiful Sean Williams da, score. Da,
da, that's a ringtone.
Oh my God. Let's just stop this conversation now before you embarrass yourself further, Garnet.
So. Oh, I'm getting an award. I'm going to get a medal. Yay! Do I get a medal?
Chewbacca gets boned.
Oh!
And he takes it there. He's just on the dirty train today.
Okay.
No, he gets... I mean, he's
so
screwed
hairy,
over.
Though.
Huh?
Anyway. It's boned.
So, there is an assumption, by the way, of what sort of games you might like, Andrea,
there
by
is.
Virtue of the fact that you're a girl. And I will start this little discussion off by the fact of these two lovely ladies wanted to talk a little bit about being girls who play games. Notice I avoided the words... Girl gamer. So I'm turning the Weekend Confirmed microphones over to them to do whatever they want to with them.
Well, thank you. I think
Wow. You fucking guys.
They
you
went
fucking
there.
Guys. I'm
they
gonna...
went there.
And oh my God, they profiled.
Do it with an Italian accent. Do it. You fucking guys.
Hey. Do whatever you want to do with the microphone. Take the microphone and just do whatever you want to do
just,
with it.
You know.
I bet you all wish this was a video podcast about now.
No, in all seriousness, though, it's really
Jesus
rare
Christ.
That, in fact, this is the first time that I've been on Weekend Confirmed with another female.
Yeah.
And we rarely get to talk about, you know, no. women in games and women gamers. You guys are still on the dirty microphone joke.
I like how the whole goal of this segment was to be like classy. Yeah, and allow this
part of the problem.
It's your fault, Jeff Cannata.
I'm way over here.
Well, we can laugh about it and it's fun. And
right, no, and we were in the break. Or
it is indicative of the issue, though.
Yeah,
it is totally indicative of the issue.
It absolutely is. And part of the thing that we talked about, part of the, you know, the struggles, you know, that we go through as a female in games is that a part of you wants to be like a traditional female or a girl or a sexy lady or whatever, and then the other part of you wants to be, what?
You know? You want to be a girl or what?
A sexy lady. A sexy lady. Yeah.
Okay.
What did you think I said?
A sexolator.
I really actually didn't understand what you
said. I also heard sexolator.
Sexolator.
I didn't know what that was.
And it requires batteries. What I was saying is
banned
that
in most
like
countries.
You constantly find yourself in this, you know, kind of struggling position where you feel like you have to like hold the high ground, but at the same time you want to indulge in guilty pleasures,
sure.
and you're constantly being forced to choose, and sometimes that really sucks.
So wait, okay, so do you guys here? We'll try to change the tone and be actually serious about this, because do you guys resent being marketed to, or do you embrace the fact that hey, look, we're a serious demographic that deserves to have games made for us.
Yeah, I want to embrace that so much. But my problem that I have is that it's hard to be taken seriously sometimes in my work, or even just people that I have that I don't know personally. They just make this assumption that you don't play games at all. And it's like, please, dude.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I have devoted my life to making games, and it's really hard. Like, the hours are really shitty, and that's fine because I love it, and that's the most important thing. But then when people come into a conversation with you, making the assumption that you don't play games, it kind of makes me very frustrated.
Do you think that mainstream games, by their very nature, are inherently masculine? Do you feel
absolutely.
Like you have to be sort of masculinized in order to enjoy them, or?
Well, I look at the people who make them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's half your issue right
yeah,
now,
yeah,
and
honestly.
that's a very
there's a boys club there.
It's a boys club, and it's just I mean, you look at computer science. Maybe you get into art and sound and some other places. It starts to even out a little bit more, but you look at computer science, especially in programming and QA in a lot of ways, which is.
But
where
I think that
from.
I think that from what I see from going around to different studios as an outside, you know, media member, looking and talking to different people, that it's less a boys club now than it was.
Sure.
Even
sure.
a year or two ago, it's
sure.
tremendous the number of women who are active in gaming. And
absolutely.
And the interesting thing is that they. I'm very curious to hear more about the walking the line between, you know, being a woman, which I have no understanding of at all, but at the same time, like being just. Go ahead.
No,
go ahead,
no,
throw
no.
your joke.
No.
It shouldn't.
But still
be
being
a
gamer, but not having to be like not having to be a girl gamer.
Yeah, being a woman shouldn't be a thing. It shouldn't be a part of the equation.
Well, but doesn't it have to be? Like, doesn't it have to? It's your identity, right?
Yes, and I talk about this all the time. The fact that I gravitate to games that allow me to play a character that is a female, and there's very few games out there that have a female protagonist, so the option to be a female protagonist, and that's why games like Skyrim are fantastic. Games like Mass Effect are fantastic. Even games like Gears, where you can be a female in the game. I mean, you can't in the campaign. You know, you have to be Marcus, but like in multiplayer, you can choose to be one of the female characters, and there's so many like AAA games that don't even have it on the table. It's not even an idea.
What do you think about Saints Row the Third? Where
this is a really good example is that game, you want to enjoy the guilty pleasure out of it. You want to make this
so stupid, right?
You want to make this hot girl that has this crazy makeup who's running around in her underwear, like shooting people up at the guns. But then at the same time, I hated what Duke Nukem did to
it. You're like,
women.
That's total objectification. Wait, I just did the objectification.
Exactly.
Fuck. Why did I do that?
That's the tough part about trying to be the female and trying to take like a stance on it, like I want to be treated equally, I want to have the same rights or whatever, because at the same time you still want to feel like you're sexy, you still want to feel like men want you, because as a woman you're taught that from like birth on that you need to be pleasing to a man.
So what do you think about games like Bayonetta or like Soul Calibur 5?
Bayonetta is an interesting example. I mean, she's like a hot female protagonist that's also badass, but I mean, at the same time, she's really highly sexualized. I mean, she's like...
We totally disagree about this. Ariel and I totally disagree, because I think she's fucking awesome and badass, but you think that she she's over hypersexualized.
She is.
But at the same time, that's fine.
But she's
like
a badass.
Well, I think both of you are right. Just you're looking at it from a different point of view, because she is hypersexualized, but she is badass. She's the sexy librarian. Yeah.
But
like,
I don't.
That's fine, and I'm not saying that, even though I've never played Bayonetta, I feel like that's a game that sure you can play. It's like a solid action game that's enjoyable. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with that, and I don't think that I will never play that game, because I probably will at some point pick it up. And same with Soul Calibur. I mean, I've played Soul Calibur games. I used to love Soul Calibur games. I spent probably hundreds of hours. But that being said, it's just, I mean, it is a little bit of a turnoff, and I think that I move beyond that and still enjoy and partake in those games.
I'm much more curious, rather than just sort of characterization of women in games, I'm much more curious about a purely mechanical examination of what you... I feel like the mechanics of most mainstream video games require you to kill, to dominate, to do things that are traditionally masculine, right? So... And I know that part of the explanation of the success of The Sims is due to the fact that it is much more open to females to do things that I think traditionally they appreciate more. You can make your house, make it look nice, have social interactions, create relationships between characters. I mean, I think it's as close as we've come to the rom-com of video games. Mm-hmm. And are you guys much more interested in that area being explored further? Or do you feel like you're selling out your gender by playing shooters? Do you know what I mean?
I definitely understand exactly what you're saying, and that's a really growing market in games. Like, I remember being at GDC earlier this year and meeting with a bunch of smaller developers whose specific goals was to make games for women, and like literally that was their whole thing.
Well, did they do it in a patronizing way, or?
I mean, for me, I think it's patronizing, but I'm not like a super like traditional girls' girl. I love football. I love, you know, going out to bars and drinking shots of Jack. Like, I'm not the girl who's...
I love that too.
I'm just saying, like, I'm not like, if you look at like a stereotypical girl who like is drinking a Cosmo and like wants to watch, you know, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Like,
wait,
that's
what's wrong with Real Housewives?
I'm not saying anything's wrong with that. I'm saying that those are two different people. You know what I mean?
But no,
and that's what makes it.
But I think the problem is stereotyping,
and that's what makes making games for women difficult. Some women want those games where you have those sim-like interactions where you're building your house, you're outfitting your wardrobe, you're doing all these things. And then other girls,
for sure,
like, you know, Ariel and myself, are like, I want to get into Gears and shoot up some aliens.
Yeah,
you know?
There's also plenty of overlap there, I think.
Yeah,
and
there is room for overlap.
And I think there will be more and more women playing first-person shooters.
I don't see the difference. I mean, like, it's not like only women play The Sims. Guys like The Sims too. And it's, I mean, that's the biggest problem is when I see Sims classified as, oh, it's a girls game. Like, I could enjoy The Sims. I enjoy Sim City. I enjoy Farmville or Empires and Allies. And obviously Empires and Allies was built to cater to the men audience because Farmville caters more to a female audience. But at the same time, I think there's so much bleed over these days that, like, it's really, it disrespects everyone when you start saying The Sims is targeted more towards women. Even if it is, like, there's a lot of interest in all types of games, and I think the more RPG elements, the more customization kind of appeals to everyone equally across all, you know, genders and ages.
I think part of the problem when you talk about marketing games, because the people you're marketing to have to kind of identify with the story, and I feel like so many times in games, like, the female characters are just throwaways. There are
so many times the male characters are throwaways.
Well, that's a good point, actually.
Yeah, so many times the characters are throwaways.
But the problem is that there are fewer women in the pool of characters.
So you're saying, like, even if 90% of characters are throwaways, then, you know, there's only 10 women and 100 men.
And
so
you still have, like, by the way, if you're a woman gaming, you still have to deal with wet.
Absolutely.
There's
plenty of that kind of
stuff.
And
that happened.
Sure.
Yeah. And it was an entertaining game, but there was still an element of it that was completely exploitive, and that was part of its shtick.
I don't think it is inaccurate to categorize the gameplay experience of The Sims as being something that's much more accessible to females. Maybe it's not inaccessible to males.
Is it accessible to females, or is it accessible to, like, people that don't game as much? And that's where I think...
Well, but I think the reason that you could say those people don't game as much is because they don't have a way in the same way. And I think that it's all basically describing sure. the same issue.
And I just want to mention before, I know we have to wrap soon, but like in this conversation, I feel like we have to touch on how hostile the online community is towards female players.
Hostile to everyone.
By the way, you don't have to pay attention to Dave. Like he just says, look to rap, but that's just some bullshit he says.
No, continue what you were saying.
And that's why we're an hour late, and I could have been playing older brothers.
Try being an actual gay gamer playing. I have friends.
Now, that's true.
It's hostile to anyone who's different.
I'm totally sympathetic to that. At the same time, the amount of hostility that you invite just by playing a game, just every single second, it is nonstop. It is nonstop.
I don't doubt it.
It's kind of shocking. I mean, there are, I can't even count on two hands the number of times where I've been in a matchmaking session for X shooter, like whatever shooter I was playing. And literally the moments the mics go live and somebody hears that I'm a girl, mm-hmm. they drop out of the game. They don't even give me a chance to shoot anybody. They literally drop out of the game just because I'm a girl.
I can't believe people drop out. Like, I know people might harass you or say things, but people actually drop out as soon as they hear?
Yeah, they do.
Wow. That's interesting.
Because they don't want to play with girls. I mean, I know that not everybody's like that. I'm not trying to lump people together, but I'm saying that as a female, like, that's why I really stay away from doing matchmaking in online mm-hmm. games unless I'm playing with people I know.
And don't ever play Uno. Oh my God!
Well, Uno is like Venus Picture Central.
By the way, also don't do chat roulette. I've heard that's kind of scary as well.
But I think
that was good. That died very quickly.
Well, I'm still stuck on this idea of how do you make? I feel like there's a whole segment of the population that isn't. Games aren't being made for them, and I'm so curious. You guys play games,
but they don't need to kind be made of, for us. Right?
Is that your position?
If you start making games for women, you end up with Twilight, and you know,
doesn't necessarily need to follow. I don't think that needs to be the case,
right? I think you can make games for everyone, and I think that's what people should be striving for is more towards you know. But
I disagree with both of you. I don't think it's necessarily gender specific. But it's not also games for everyone. It's games for people of whatever taste they may have. There's people who like The Sims because that's the way their mind works. I mean, they're into the whole time management thing. They want to have this imagined fantasy of what sort of life I might be able to live if I lived in this beautiful suburban world. Or they're just kind of crazy and want to do like this stupid fucked up shit of like, I'm going to build a room. I'm going to stick someone in it. I'm only going to give them this thing or that thing. And then it becomes like some kind of weird psychology experiment.
But,
and
like the guy in Skyrim who cut off all the women's heads and put them on a bookshelf.
Oh. What?
I haven't gotten to that
have
quest yet.
Have you not seen that?
That's messed up.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
But here's the thing I don't understand.
Spoiler alert.
Good Lord. Jeff.
I'm sure this has partly to do with my perspective is that, you know, I've worked in the industry for a while and I know a tremendous number of people, whether they be male, female, hetero, homo, what, like, doesn't even matter. Like, none of those things matter. And I find it increasingly difficult to understand where these prejudices come from. And so I sort of feel like sometimes I've lost touch with them because like people say girl gamer or whatever. And I'm like, is that even a thing anymore? Is that a thing?
I think it's absolutely a thing.
Is it?
I think we were living.
Why is it still a thing?
If affirmative action and those, it's going to be a thing for a long time. It's not going away.
In any industry.
You're talking about a divide that still exists and you know.
That sucks.
Sure,
well,
but
of course it sucks,
it's not going away anytime soon.
But I mean, I think the problem...
It's ridiculous.
To equate it to another medium, I think we're in an industry that makes exclusively summer action movies. But
women like summer action... Like,
sure they do. Sure, absolutely they do.
Yeah, and I worked at Q Games for a year and a half, and we did not do summer action movies.
No, of course there are exceptions, but I think by and large, I think The Sims proves that there's a market for games that aren't about the same kinds of things we always have games about. And obviously there's lots of examples and there's lots of things that are coming out as the medium matures. But I think that I'm just so curious about the feeling that there's a very specific slice of what games are. And if you as a female don't embrace that, then you really don't have any place to play video games. Do you know what I'm saying? Maybe I'm inventing that issue, but I don't think I am.
Take your Nintendogs with you. You better have them right now.
I think it's interesting that Andrew and I are both female, but we're also, I mean, we're not too dissimilar with our gaming tastes. We both like all sorts of different things.
Yeah.
But we have different opinions about these issues as well. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's, I mean, we're just, we're different people.
One last question.
But Jeff and I don't have the same opinion about games
well, of
either.
Course. Yeah, exactly. But
let me ask you this question real quick. Have you ever engaged in a conversation about video games with other female friends?
I mean, honestly.
Only one. I have one. Now a new girl just started at my office that plays, but before her, I only knew one female that actually played games. That outside of work, outside of like game industry people that I know through.
Right.
Would you ever bring that up in a female environment? Like you're at lunch with your, five of your girlfriends.
Well, here's a perfect example is I work, Clever Media is a big company that we have a TV channel, movies and music channels. And when I worked in the office with all those girls, it was like me speaking Greek to them whenever I talked about games. They have no idea. A friend, one of the girls there always made fun of all of the lingo that I would use when talking to my editor about games. And he would leave and she would rattle off these jokes. Like, she had no idea what I was
talking
about.
That's why a girl gamer is still a thing.
Right. Yeah. But absolutely, I will take that and say, you know what? If you go outside of the gaming audience of guys and you start talking the way a hardcore gamer
around a
both
jock?
Of you ladies
around a jock,
right,
dude?
Around jock
not
they
anymore,
would do
dude.
The exact same
not
thing.
Not anymore. I disagree.
Dude, they
I,
used to be
so
the way it
totally
is.
Do
no.
the same
thing.
Call of Duty changed everything.
Call of Duty. Yeah.
They might punch you
but,
in the face.
Okay, Call of Duty, but that's not talking about like an MMO or an RPG. Like you get outside of that realm of Madden and Call of Duty and the mass.
Dude, if James and I are, you're talking about in the sports bar on Sunday and we start talking about Star Wars The Old Republic,
you guys are going to be like, blink.
You guys are talking about...
If we start talking about Shadow of the Colossus or Eco or something like
you
that,
guys are talking
same
about,
exact fucking thing.
You're talking about a specific vernacular. I'm talking about the concept of video games, right? It's a difference.
No, that's fair.
Can I just say something? I feel like this is just going to be a big hot mess and nothing's ever going to be resolved. But the only point that I want to get across to our audience is that like we play games too. And if you come across a producer or a media person who talks about games a lot or makes games, just like don't make that assumption about if they play games or not. Just ask them or assume that if they're devoting their life to that specific art form, then assume that they play games. That's all I want.
Amen, sister.
We have many more holiday stories to bring you, as well as some games we've been playing. So stick around. We will be back with more of the holiday special, Weekend Confirmed, when we continue. Weekend Confirmed is brought to you by the Gamefly app, the must-have app for gamers. The app is filled with game information, the latest gaming news from shacknews.com, and videos and screenshots for over 8,000 games. New version 2.0 for the iPhone and iPod Touch includes cool new features like social interaction. Now you can follow and interact with the crew from Weekend Confirmed in the Gamefly app. Check out what Jeff Cannata, Del Rio, and I are playing and saying about the latest games. And as always, the app is free and available now for the iPhone, Android, and Palm mobile devices. Hey, you didn't know we were going to get a little bit intelligent during this holiday episode of...
Hasn't happened so far.
Who knows?
Wait.
I've seen no evidence.
I thought that was a very intellectual segment to start the show off with.
I was talking about the what was happening in the break.
The pizza?
Where we've lost it all.
Yeah. We have lost it all. So we're going to get right back into the stories. I'm going to start off with...
Hi.
Wait, Zav is here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Zav is here.
I remind
Zav
him, by the way.
The Zav Master.
What's up, everyone?
Yes.
Zav DeMontis here.
This is what happens when you do lots of segments all in one day, and it just sort of rolls one.
We are recording
into the next,
quite a few shows today.
Into the next.
You mean two?
That's quite a few for us.
So this story was shared with us by Woogie Boo Bofoof.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's an awesome name.
Hey, there was a large group discussion about how to pronounce that right prior.
There was.
It's not Woogie Boo Bofoof.
Boo Boo.
We've decided that. All right,
on with the story.
Woogie Boo Bofoof?
Okay, continue.
Says, when I was a kid, every Christmas Eve, my two friends and I would sneak out from the boring party at my next door neighbor's, with a U, and into my basement so we could play my old Commodore 64 my parents had brought me. We used to play Mule for the multiplayer or Barbarian because we liked seeing the little goblin kick the head across the screen. Now, every Christmas Eve, I play old C64 games on an emulator on a laptop in remembrance of those times. They were awesome.
Wow.
Aww.
Woogie.
Woogie, woogie, woogie.
Inspired. I sort of like this idea of games people are playing over Christmas because that was always big for me. I mean, I've told this story several times before, but the big thing for me and my little brother and my stepdad was the annual Madden until 4 o'clock in the morning grudge matches. Especially they would never end because inevitably they were just a matter of who would score last. There really wasn't much defense in early Madden. It was just who would have the ball last would score last.
I remember way back when we used to have like my mom's whole family get together for Thanksgiving. It would be Super Tecmo Bowl and everyone would take a team. So they'd literally play out a whole season with
also
like
good.
17 or 18 different teams. And so it was a constant rotation. Oh, you're up right now. And you had to drop whatever you're doing and go down. So we could actually maybe make it through a 16-week season in about 3 days. But it was intense.
That is pretty intense.
But we did it several years in a row.
That is awesome.
Was there many like black eyes?
Oh god, it was terrible. Like the worst though is like people tackling each other down a flight of stairs. Like I mean that actually did happen at one point. Someone got tackled down a flight of stairs in anger, and you know, we all still love each other though.
That guy envisioned the Kinect before the Kinect.
A tremendous amount of Christmas cursing just over football video gaming. Awesome.
It is true.
Not like good friendly funds experience. Who we're going to turn over to the fabulous pipes of our dramatic reader,
all right,
Mr. Jeff Cannata.
My holiday gaming story involves playing the Wizard of War arcade machine with my grade school friends when I was 12 years old. The 1981 Christmas season was very snowy and brutally cold in Chicago. Growing up in a poor neighborhood, neither me nor my friends' families could afford home gaming systems. Our gaming entertainment came in the form of making the cold trek to Dominic's grocery store.
Well, a little.
Where we'd play Wizard of War.
Wait a minute, what the hell is that supposed
to be? That's their footsteps in the snow.
That's not what it sounded like.
My three buddies and I would scrounge up whatever change we could find and do our best to get the game the most game time for our money. On Christmas Day 1981, one of my buds, who was tall enough to reach the arcade cabinet power switch, discovered that rapidly switching the machine off and on would register hundreds of credits. The four of us spent that Christmas day playing the game for about 10 hours straight. We eventually got kicked out of the store due to the mob of onlookers.
Hey, kid, get the fuck out of here!
Gathered around us as we kept playing and playing, reaching levels we had never seen before due to our ability to continue the game for hours nonstop. 30 years later, that crazy Christmas day still stands out as one of my favorite gaming memories of all time. Yay for cheating!
So I called.
The sequel to that story is how that guy who owns that business went out of business.
I don't understand. The Wizard of War machine was keeping this place in business.
It does show you how compelling you can make that story, though, with excellent voice acting.
I'm available for parties, video games.
For parties.
pull the string on the Jeff Cannata Pinata. Jeff Cannata Pinata.
Oh, boy.
And the last but not least, Smog Rocker had a great short but sweet one. My holiday story is a tradition I started with my best friend Iceman 2 years ago. Since 2009, we get together every Christmas and New Year's and finish a game in one sitting. In 2009, it was Dead Space. In 2010, it was Super Mario Galaxy 2, which I now realize I screwed up in my question that was video. Galaxy 2 came out last year, didn't it?
No, it came out the year before, didn't it?
Galaxy 2 was 2010, not this
it was?
Year.
It was 20. I thought it was
2010. Can I just point out that you said Iceman?
So anyway, it says this year it's going to be Rayman
it's cool
Origins.
Cool parents.
Yeah, it's Iceman.
Iceman? Well, you said Iceman, not like Iceman.
Ice.
It's Man. His last name isn't like Iceman.
Simon Iceman. Attorney at law. I don't know.
Are your assets frozen?
Yeah, they are now. You visited the Iceman.
Contact the Iceman. This year it's going to be Rayman Origins, and I'll even fly.
That's a great one.
And I'll even fly home to Germany from my current residence in New York City.
I highly recommend the Rayman Origins co-op experience. Couch co-op is fantastic.
It is interesting though that the two games you mentioned, Dead Space 1 and Mario Galaxy 2, are not co-op. I mean, Mario Galaxy can kind of shoot shit or whatever, but you'd think
life
like
for
if
level,
that was
dude.
A tradition.
Life for level.
Level. All right.
Isn't it Rayman? It's Rayman.
It's Rayman.
That's a garnet. Rayman. Rayman.
Everybody loves Rayman.
His name isn't Phil Rayman.
No, it's based on John Rayman. You don't remember that? No? Rayman Romano?
Rayman's Origins.
Oh, God. Okay.
Ray
okay,
Man.
Rayman. Okay, it's Rayman.
Who knows Ice Man?
Thank you. Thank you.
And Aquaman.
Okay, yeah, it's not Aquaman. It's,
no one wants to know Aquaman.
Last year, my girlfriend's parents' place, she and her brother and I all played through the Tomb Raider, what is it, Light?
Guardian of Light.
Guardian of Light.
Oh, okay.
On co-op. That's a fun.
Yeah, that's supposed to be quite good. I haven't played it.
That was a blast. We had a great time.
Great.
Was there a man in there?
No.
Man.
Oh,
And we also played Elo Milo.
I don't
remember that game. It was a downloadable game.
Nope. Okay, let's move on.
Game. I think.
So, what have you guys been playing?
Well, speaking of Rayman Origins, that's the reason I haven't been playing Rayman Origins is because the game Jeff and I have been playing.
Yeah.
A little title. A
tiny one you may have heard of.
You guys are going to talk about Star Wars as well as that other game you've been playing, right?
What other game?
I don't know. The way you're looking at each other, I'm not sure what it might
be. None. It's just the Old Republic. It's constant Star Wars, the Old Republic, ever since Early Access started, and I got that fateful email that has ruined my life.
Yeah. It's our holiday sweaters.
Massive holiday sweater. So, Jeff, what are you playing as?
I'm playing as a Jedi Knight because...
Boring!
I know. I'm a good guy. Lame.
Holding down.
Light side?
But I'm playing
in the
Guardian.
Light corner, we have Jeff Cannata coming in at 190 pounds, Jedi Knight.
Actually, you know, I think with this game, you're not supposed to really even refer to your starting class because the starting class means nothing.
Why is that?
I'm a Jedi Guardian.
Well, in SWTOR, the biggest thing is what you pick your advanced class at level 10 to be. So, okay. Like, for instance, I play an Imperial Agent, and my choice is a Sniper or an Operative. If you're Sniper, you're pretty much pure range DPS. If you go Operative, you're either Melee DPS or Healer.
So coming in on the dark side, Mr. James Stevenson.
As an Imperial Agent, Operative, Healer.
285 pounds.
Not even close.
You know this Imperial
Maybe
guys.
Maybe if I keep playing Stormtroopers.
Those Imperial guys. They're all fat, dumb, and happy. Wait a minute. Stormtroopers aren't supposed to be fat.
You can select
I'm an agent,
a very,
not a Stormtrooper.
You're a Stormtrooper. You're an Imperial.
You can select a very rotund character model.
You can
choose. Yeah.
Yeah, you can be a fat dude.
Can you play as an Ewok?
No.
Ewoks haven't been discovered yet.
Fuck that game then.
Fuck you.
Fuck that game.
There are some Jawas, though.
So now that you've laid out the two sides.
Jawas are just sand Ewoks.
I think this is one of the.
That's racist.
Wow.
I was going to make that same joke.
One of the traps that World of Warcraft fell into was this desire to sort of moderate the two sides and bring alliance types into the Horde and vice versa. How would you differentiate between the Imperial and the Alliance classes in SWTOR?
In a lot of ways, they're mirror images of each other.
Yeah, they are, exactly. Yeah. I mean, and the thing is, you can play Alliance, you can play a Republic Jedi Knight and be dark side.
Right.
Like, you can choose dark side decisions and become evil and have your affiliation being dark.
I'm not really clear as to how that really affects gameplay yet. Maybe you're farther along than I am.
There's two things that it really affects. It affects your appearance. If you go dark side, you start to get the veins everywhere and your eyes go red. And the second thing is there eventually is equipment that can only be equipped by light or dark and there's no neutral equipment at this time, but they are going to provide neutral equipment, apparently. So if you decide to stay kind of neutral, do a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B, you
that's
can get
good.
Some neutral equipment that...
I think that's good. I think they need to do the neutral stuff because I tended to find myself choosing certain dialogue options based purely on what points I was going to get, which is sort of a trap I think
now,
a lot
have
of BioWare games fall into.
Do you turn it on so you can see the points?
Yeah, you know, you can,
option you can turn it on, so it shows light side option, dark side option.
Well, in the center of your selector, it shows the symbol that you'll get if you select...
Yeah, you can actually have it right next to the option. But I think
you guys really are speaking another language right now.
I mean, imagine...
When you guys are talking, all I'm here is...
But imagine Knights of the... If you like Knights of the Old Republic, it's like Knights of the Old Republic with a little bit of Dragon Age and a lot of World of Warcraft.
A lot of WoW. Yeah.
And all mixed up into a tasty, tasty Star Wars MMO.
Yeah, here's the thing you need to understand, I think, is if you are looking for something radically different from what is the current... standard of what an MMO is, you're really not going to get that. It's very much still an MMO with all the MMO trappings, but the new things it brings to the table are really fun if you already like MMOs. And I think that if you don't, if you kind of have played some MMOs and you're not super into them, I think having the dialogue all spoken and having the story be as rich as it is really could win you over, but I don't think it's the kind of game for somebody that actively doesn't like MMOs, because you're still doing MMO
right.
type stuff.
What if you're someone that loved Knights of the Old Republic and you're not sure about MMOs? I mean, for as a sequel to Knights of the Old Republic,
this is the most soloable MMO. Because,
for sure.
And two of the things that I think make it, and it's presentation in one aspect, and then the other one I'll get to. Presentation from the fact that all the quests are voiced. So suddenly, the quest to go kill 10 whatever and pick up their tusks or whatever the hell it is has a lot of meaning because someone just told you a story about it and you're able to interact with them and you have dialogue and they have dialogue. And you're like, oh, fuck, I gotta actually go do that now to help them with whatever they're trying to do. It doesn't feel like a fetch quest that you just read in text and accepted really quick. Secondly, the companion system, which is kind of the big, maybe the biggest innovation in the game, really,
yeah.
And that it allows you
awesome. Right. I mean, it feels awesome right away.
Like, you get a companion, and suddenly you're like, okay, I'm a healer, and now I have someone who can deal damage, or I am, you know, a damage dealer, and now I have a tank who can take the damage for me, and suddenly it just changes the way you play the game, because you're not looking for someone to do a hard quest. You can just go do it yourself with your companion, and you have to manage them a little bit, but it's almost like the AI of a Dragon Age or Knights of the Old Republic 2, and that they kind of will do their own thing and help you out, and you feel really, really powerful, because now you can actually go accomplish all these quests on your own without looking for a bunch of people to help you and without that diluting your experience.
But then why am I playing an MMO?
Well, because there's still a lot of great aspects to it in terms of an economy, in terms of trading, in terms of PvP, in terms of bigger group missions against huge bosses that you could not possibly take down alone. So it kind of blends the best of like that single player storytelling with the good things about an MMO and puts it into one package so that you can sort of pick and select what you want. You're not forced to do either. If you really want to play this game as Knights of the Old Republic 3, and there's 8 different storylines that may be a marketing speak bullet point on their behalf, but really it feels like there's at least a solid 4 storylines you could really get out of this game, you could do that. You could play pretty much solo with the exception of a few things. And get a lot out of the game, especially for your $60, even if you only played it for 1 month really heavily.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say that this really excites me because I have personally stayed away from MMOs just because I only have so much time. And I know that if I started playing WoW, I would just get totally sucked into it. And I wouldn't have enough time to play any other games. So I was a KOTOR fan. I love the Star Wars universe. I would so be willing to jump into this and just play the storylines out and walk away.
But here's the problem. I'm a huge Zelda fan. And between Skyrim, which sucked me away from Zelda, I barely touched Zelda, put 40 hours into Skyrim, no problem, hardly got anywhere. This game has poured me away from Skyrim. I have no desire to go back to Skyrim right now, and God knows when the Old Republic is actually going to end.
It's just about the order that you do things. Yeah. I have to finish Zelda, I have to finish Skyrim, I have to finish all this.
But I will say, this is a game that is so big that if you do decide to jump into it, God help you.
I'm worried. You're making me worry.
May the force be with you.
Wait, just a minute ago, you were excited.
But I'm worried about that. I'm worried about how excited I am because I don't want to just play this game. I want to play this game.
The other thing I want to bring up too, and maybe people take it for granted, but I am shocked at how well they nail Star Wars. I can't remember. I mean, I've been so disillusioned by the prequels in recent years, and especially in the more I think about them, the less I like them. And I've felt farther and farther away from that love of Star Wars that I've had my entire life. I've never felt more excited about the Star Wars universe in recent years than I am playing this game. And they get it right in a variety of ways. I mean, the sound alone is incredible. The amount of original music here, and it goes a long way to creating that feeling of being in Star Wars. The sound effects of when my lightsaber goes through a droid compared to when it goes through a organic creature. Like, it all sounds right. And I think they've done a really great job in creating skill trees and abilities, sets of abilities for the different characters that all feel authentic to the universe, but also feel really powerful and have great animations and land in really satisfying ways. I've been really enjoying playing a Jedi, but I've seen the smuggler class and I've seen some of the trooper class, and all of them have really fun, cool things that they can do right away, even at early levels.
Well, and I think between the music, where like when you're about to fight a boss, like some of those classic Star Wars themes start to build up as you get closer and closer to the boss, and then suddenly you fight it and it like blows into full-on Star Wars music as you're trying to bring down this giant creature or really powerful enemy or Jedi Knight, and you're like, oh shit, like I am totally in this universe right now. But what you were also saying too is one of the things I think they've done is they like they've melded the classes together so well, so you can really choose how you want to play each class. Yeah. Like there's no, like if you know, if you choose a Jedi Knight, you're not stuck to being, you know, a damage dealer or a tank. Like you really yeah. can pick which way you want to do it, and you can blend, and maybe if you've got a bunch of guys that can all heal, a couple of them can switch over and just focus on dealing damage, and it's no problem. The classes aren't gimped from each other, so your character really has a lot of utility, and it's something that I think takes it kind of a step beyond some of the other MMOs of recent years, where when you select a class right at the very beginning, you're very much
you're stuck,
shoehorned into yeah. a role. This game, you have a lot of flexibility to almost do whatever role you want with any class. You're going to specialize, of course, you'll be best at one thing, but in a pinch, you could pretty much fill in for any other class.
I have yeah. a very serious question. Can you meet Salacious B. Crumb? This is going to make it a racket for me.
Yeah, nice.
That's really good.
I have two quick examples of the Star Wars-iness. That these are real okay. simple, non-spoiler examples. First of all, my girlfriend is playing a Sith Inquisitor. And all
and
the
you're her bitch.
Well, all the all the classes have a sort of rest, regenerate your health and stamina quickly skill. The Jedi have like a meditation, and I think the smuggler like flips a coin and hangs out. It's really cool because you don't have a lot of downtime waiting for your health to go back before you can fight another mob. The Sith Inquisitor class has a skill called Seething. And it's basically what Darth Maul does in Episode 1, where he's like pacing back and
oh, in
forth,
front of the,
like,
in front of the like
yeah,
reactor,
badass.
That's
so that's
cool.
First example. Second example, another simple thing. You know how in World of Warcraft you have these different fly points that you find to connect you from city to city, and you'll get on a flying dragon. Well, in the Jedi starting area, there is a series of fly points like that, but you get on speeder bikes. And go through the forest, right? That's how you fly from point to point. I was just walking along very early on in my experience with this game, and I heard one. I was playing with earphones on, and I heard one come up from behind me and pass me. And before I saw it, I knew what it was because it's the sound of that thing going by me that I know in my bones of childhood. That's so evocative and fun.
Hey, when you're on Hoth, can you go from point to point inside of a Tauntaun? Is that how?
You think they're stinky on the outside?
Oh.
Do they have Tauntaun travel
At least it'll
points?
Keep you warm. I don't know.
Someone
I
rolls the body down.
I don't think I've seen. I don't think I've seen a Quaken monkey, but I mean, if you start Dark Side Agent or Bounty Hunter, you start on Hutta. So you literally are like working with the Hutts right off the bat and dealing with Hutt politics. And, you know, there's Twi'lek dancers
Hutt.
Holograms. Nice. Bringing back to football always. But I think as you go, like, I mean, I saw a YouTube video today where someone was on Tatooine and they go into the cantina and there's like a Bith band playing the classic cantina music. And it's like, this is Star Wars. It feels like Star Wars. They were smart. They took it to a time period where, I mean, the same thing they did with Knights of the Old Republic. They took it to a time period where they could have tons of Jedi and tons of Sith, and you could have lots of lightsaber battles, because that's the biggest issue with the current generation, current era of Star Wars, is there's a handful of Jedi and a couple dark Jedi. This game, there's shit tons of everything, and you don't question it, because it's like, oh, the Sith are here. There's hundreds of
Sith.
That's
the big contrast to Galaxies, right? Is that in Galaxies, the original conceit was that to get to be a Jedi would be a big thing. But here, being a Jedi is a character class selection. It's mm-hmm. like there's no getting to be a Jedi. You started as a Jedi,
right.
Correct?
Padawan, but yeah.
But I'm not incorrect in saying
Padawan
that you
learner.
Yeah.
That you knew that your character course was to be a Jedi. There wasn't right. this like, oh, I might need to go. Remember, like all the foo around
it
galaxies.
Was, you had to find like holocrons. You had to do all sorts of shit. And then if you ran your Jedi character at the beginning and you died, it was gone. You lost your Jedi. Like it was permadeath in Galaxies at the beginning.
Yeah. And I don't think that takes away from the specialness of being a Jedi. I think all those wonderful things that they've done really well of having – you feel powerful right away. You feel like, yeah, I'm wielding my lightsaber right away. You know, running toward an enemy while it's shooting at you, he'll automatically repel some – you know.
I will say
yeah,
this.
Watch it with Corey. It was pretty cool.
The only issue I have – and it's not so much that everyone, it's awesome that everyone can be a Jedi, but that almost does devalue Jedi slightly and the Sith slightly, and that, you know, when you fight a Jedi as sort of a mini boss or even a boss of a level, and it's a bunch of troopers and an agent who take down, or bounty hunters and an agent who take down a Jedi, it does feel, you're almost like, man, like Jedi aren't as invincible as, you know, they appear
well,
in the
Lucas
current
already
era of
did
Star.
That.
Well, I know to some extent that's true, but at the same token, like, there's something about that that I do think, you know, devalues it a little bit, but it's not enough devaluation to take me out of it. Like, mm-hmm. there's just brief moments where I'm like, man, you know, a bunch of us killed that Jedi, no problem. On the other hand, it's awesome that everyone can have that fantasy.
But in
that
universe, I mean, doesn't that make more sense that they're invisible because there's only a select of them that are left because they are the survivors of these massacres? Like, isn't that part, and the fact that now that there's so many, maybe it's sort of like saying that the training isn't as tight for everything because there's an abundance of Jedi and Sith. You know what I
sure,
mean?
Sure, like, I think that's a good way of looking at it too, and like kind of rationalizing it in your head. I just think it's interesting when I go maybe one on one with some sort of Jedi Padawan and who has a lightsaber, and I'm stabbing him in the back with a shiv and killing them or shooting him with a blaster. It feels, you know, like you kind of have this thing in your head because of the films that a Jedi could just block all your blaster bullets, cut your arm off with his lightsaber, stab you through the chest, and
so
move
you're
on
mad
with
that you
life.
You're mad that you won.
Right. I'm a regular dude. I'm just a guy with a blaster and a shiv in my hand, but I can still take down a Jedi. That's the only
James,
time I'm
don't sell yourself
out
short, buddy. I think.
Hey, are you happy with the selection of starting races from all of the Star Wars universe? These are the ones we get.
I think the biggest challenge there is that it's very humanoid. Like, yeah.
You can't be a Twi'lek.
You can be a Twi'lek. Oh, but they're humanoid. Like, yeah. You can't be a Wookiee. You can't be a Jawa. Mm. You can't be an Ewok. Like, there
can't
something...
be
a
Hammerhead guy.
Right.
Or
you can't
three-eyed dude.
Right.
Although those people are all in the world that you'll encounter them.
Right. You see them everywhere. You just can't be them. And I imagine
expansion
that's...
pack coming summer 2012.
Oh, no doubt.
Certainly. And I would guess that's more of a gear thing than anything else. That is a big expansion issue. And I think that's the two things they've sort of put themselves into an interesting corner in. If you start expanding with non-humanoid races, you have to figure out gear and how the same gear that works for humans works for them. Are you going to have non-humanoid gear? What are you going to do there? The second thing is you voiced all these quests. If you introduce any new quests, any new class with a new voice line, are you going to have to go back and redo the voice for everything you already did? Yeah. And there is so much voice work in this game, and it's one of the biggest selling points of the game, that if you do that, each new class, each new character becomes very, very expensive. And I think those are the kind of the two biggest long-term things that could really affect the game. It'll be interesting to see how they deal with that as we move on from, you know, this launch period to the inevitable expansions and kind of long-term service of it.
Shadow the 13th shared a Christmas story with us as we go to break. Shadow 13 says, I remember a box under the Christmas tree that had the exact weight and shape of an NES game, and I remember scratching a small hole in the paper to try and see what game it was. From my initial puncture in the wrapping paper, I couldn't tell what game it was, so I put it back to wait for Christmas Day. Each day, I'd give in to my impatience and scratch a little bit more away until I was certain I could see what looked like a section of a shell. That was it. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles for the NES. I couldn't wait for Christmas Day. About a week before Christmas, my parents let my brother and I choose a single gift to unwrap early. So naturally, I chose TMNT and produced an Oscar-worthy surprised reaction. I threw that sucker into my NES and played it nearly every day, and it took me about 6 months to eventually finish it. Now, when I'm wrapping Christmas presents for my two sons, I can almost feel the same tangible excitement I did when I was a kid. Getting presents when you're a kid is thrilling, but it doesn't compare to the feeling you get as a parent when you get the exact same game that they want and see their little eyes pop out of their head on Christmas morning when they unwrap it. God, I love being a parent.
That's really
beautiful.
Sweet. Yeah.
6 months to finish it because that damn water level.
God, that level.
Stick around. Weekend Confirms holiday special. We'll be right back. Thank you. Wow, that was an abrupt stop right there on the music. Caught us a little bit off guard, but we're ready to keep on rolling. We have Jeff Cannata about to head to the airport to do some Christmas traveling.
Yeah. Merry Christmas to all.
Happy holidays. And we have Andrea Renee now joining us in
What's
the hot
up?
Seat.
What's up? I'm back in the rotating chair of the holiday episode.
And so we're going to kick things off with yet another of your stories, but due to the name here.
Going Commando.
James Stevens is going to take the reins here.
Going Commando 117 writes, I have a really, really strange gift for being able to tell what wrapped Christmas presents are just by looking at them. In some years, I've successfully predicted everything I was getting for Christmas just by seeing the boxes under the tree. The year I got a PSP, my family finally decided to do something about it. On Christmas Eve, my sister brought out a strange gift bag with my name on it and put it under the tree. The following morning, my PSP box was sitting, unwrapped, under the tree next to the gift bag. When I went to open the box, I noticed it had been tampered with. Inside was my graphic calculator wrapped in tissue paper with the message, "Gotcha," written on the screen. As it turned out, my mom had lost patience with my talent and decided to enlist my sister to wrap each individual component of the PlayStation Portable Starter Kit in three layers of duct tape and put them into the accompanying gift bag. Missing from the gift bag was the PSP itself, which my sister brought to me in my mom's purse. They have never done anything like this since. My mother said it was too much work. But there are no presents for me under the tree until Christmas morning.
My parents started doing that to me, too.
Yeah? I remember your story.
So if people don't remember, a long time ago when you guys did One Up Yours and did this Christmas special, you actually read one of my stories that I submitted, which is sort of what ended up happening to me, sort of same situation where I opened something and was caught opening something and I got in trouble for it. And when I was growing up, after that point, they never put presents under the tree for me. And then there was one year where I wanted to get, I think it was a Super Nintendo when the Super Nintendo had come out. And it was the thing that I was asking for. And they said, and I opened all my presents that they showed me under the tree and it wasn't there. And I was disappointed. And then they sent me to go get something in another room. And there it was sitting, another present. So my parents, one thing that we still do to this day with my dad and my mom is my dad will wrap things in giant boxes and put like bags of pasta and stuff, like, just so it's like it has a different weight
and a different
and
like
different
feeling.
Like feeling
so when
to
you shake it.
Like,
brilliant.
Yeah, brilliant. He like packs it with all this other stuff. It's like, there's no groceries in the house because he's put it all under the tree just to trick everyone.
I got
it's
another funny. Thing of Legos.
No, that's just Rotelli.
It's and interesting Andrew. That we're talking about wrapping gifts because I have a Christmas memory with my dad, who introduced me to video games back in the day. And I remember the year my sister and I got our Nintendo 64. Every subsequent year after that, because we had asked for the colored controllers. Remember, like they had like yellow
purple,
and red,
and orange.
All the colored controllers for that. Those boxes for those controllers to this day have been used every single Christmas, and my dad hides gifts in them, like whether it be a gift card or like a piece of jewelry or something. Every year, you are guaranteed to find one of those colored Nintendo 64 boxes underneath the Christmas tree.
That's pretty clever.
I don't think you're supposed to use that term anymore.
This year,
my girlfriend did something really cool. We gave my 7-year-old nephew a Wii game, but she wrapped it in a box. She wrapped it and then put it in a box, wrapped that box, put that box in a bigger box, wrapped that again. Box.
This is a Dr. Seuss thing?
Yeah. So it was this giant box, and each time he opened it, he was like, another Your present? It was so adorable.
You know how you make that? You know how you do that as a practical joke to somebody? Instead of using wrapping paper, you use wallpaper.
Oh, what? It's impossible to rip.
Wallpaper
is all adhesive. So when you put the wrapping paper on it, it sticks all the way across. You can never actually like rip the paper off of the box. It's a little mean, but it's funny if you're trying to play a practical joke on somebody.
And then
somebody.
Someone gets the knife out, and someone cuts their finger off, and everyone goes to the emergency room for Christmas.
But y'all get to be on
by the end of it. You're like, I just got you wallpaper. That's all the wallpaper you're getting.
It's funny though. Try it sometime.
You know, just whenever.
I like how you drop that like that. So I wonder how many folks will be getting PlayStation Vitas for Christmas.
Nobody here.
I think there'll be some imports. You don't think there'll be any imports?
I think why would you want a piece of hardware that's in Japanese?
Isn't there a system setting?
I'm speaking from an American consumer standpoint.
I don't think...
I'm sure there are hardcore gamers that are going to import.
Is Uncharted out?
Yes. Yeah, it was one of the recent games.
Wow.
I just feel
games
like
were Uncharted,
you should wait and
Marvel
get
Capcom
it.
3.
Yeah.
Okay.
Get it. I mean,
big titles came out with this thing.
That is true. Huh.
Which is possibly why I was able to sell 320,000 units in the first 2 days. Not a bad number, really.
They are having some widespread issues, though.
They are.
With some...
Well, so the question is, are they widespread, or are they just the people who are frustrated and pissed off taking to the internet while everybody else has fun with their machines?
Kind of like
hard
the
to say.
Problems
especially
Skyrim?
When you're talking about, like, Japan internet, because, like, how... I mean, you know, like English internet, like if it's on Australia or something.
Oh, you're right. When it has to translate,
right,
it's awful.
When you're talking about Japanese. Well, no, but you know what I'm saying, though? Like, we don't see issues on Japanese forums. Like, you don't see, like, a lot of those issues cropping up on English forums, like people in Japan who are buying a Japanese system. Like, a
right,
few,
but I
maybe,
mean, Engadget got, I think, two
hold
units.
On, I'm not sure what you're meaning because internet in Japan, my experience has been that it's been very, very fast. And
sure,
very
sure,
available.
Sure. I'm just saying, like, you know, the English, you're talking about a group of people here. We're seeing maybe there's some issues, but
yeah.
We have a very small percentage of the people that bought those in Japan are coming onto English language websites
oh,
that complain
right,
about
right,
it.
Right,
that's
right,
my
yeah,
point.
Yes, yes. I agree.
And also, I think the report came out of Engadget, who purchased two units, I believe, and they're both broken.
Wow. What was the issue?
The issue is that the screen is not responsive for the touch. The front screen, you can't power it down without taking the battery out because it just like locks up when you turn it on, and it's locked at a status screen. So I don't know. I mean, I just saw a video. They have a video on Engadget's website where they're like, I think they have two of them, and they're showing that both of them are just dead out of the box.
Another reason to wait for the North American launch.
And Sony did apologize for it. They did say that they have had some issues.
So I saw that Jeremy Parrish from 1UP, you know, my old friend from 1UP, had some trouble with the ones that they got. And I think we're supposed to get one at Shaq. We're supposed to get a couple of them, I guess, at Shaq News.
Yeah. Which we're getting like, the North American ones as well.
But are those North American ones they're sending us now, or are they Japanese ones they're sending us now? Or are there even, like, what's...
I don't know.
Who knows what the difference is?
A code
anyway,
on the hardware.
It seems potentially
the default
like
settings are just different.
The lockup issues might be firmware related because their advice right now is hold the power button down and it'll restart.
I think the only unit that's really remarkably different is the 3G model. I think is just a different technology in Japan as it is here, right?
So what do you think will happen with the 3G unit here being tied to AT&T?
I don't think that's going to sell. Very
no,
well
I don't
at
think
all.
So either. But
I just don't see the point. Like, really, you want to sign up for another AT&T monthly service in order to play,
like,
what, to check into Foursquare on your PSP Vita?
iPads have been popular on 3G.
Sure. I don't
which
know.
I didn't believe until
but it's
someone
a multi-use device as well. You know what I mean? This is a multi... Also, I have to imagine that AT&T, based on the bandwidth that system has the potential to use, is going to limit or restrict.
Well, they already do.
Use.
I mean, they already have caps.
And you can use your iPhone and your iPad tandemly, you know what I mean? Like, those two devices complement each other. And so if you have your iPhone through AT&T, why not just use that service also on your iPad? You can't say the same about a PS Vita, you know?
I don't know.
It Call of Duty comes out on it. People can play Call of Duty on 3G while they sit on the bus and play multiplayer online. They sell a shit ton of 3G.
More like, where the hell is Siphon Filter?
Sure, or what? Any game like 3G. I don't know. I think there's a select market of people that have the opportunity to sit there and play a game on 3G and would want that. For those people, it'll make a lot of sense. For those of us who play at home or on an airplane most of the time, maybe it doesn't make sense. But you know, they'll probably sell it to certain folks.
Overall impressions of 2 day sales number 320,000. Good, right?
Strong out the gate.
Good software launch library, because some of the naysayers, for instance, folks like Forbes, we don't traditionally think of as players in this space, but at least, you know, Sony has caught that attention level.
Huge on investment level for Sony.
Huge on investment level. Comes out and says, oh, it's the final battle for handhelds. The final battle.
They clearly are out of touch with their gaming audience.
I don't know, are they? I mean, they're looking at it from a perspective of, well, like most people when they play handheld games are doing it on iPhone or iPad. Are people really, are these the last two major handheld platforms?
They're also looking at launch numbers from an iPad or an iPhone versus
right.
What?
I mean, it's a drop in the bucket.
Yeah.
Speaking of holidays and anecdotes and anecdotal evidence to support nothing, my
new line.
My aforementioned 7-year-old nephew just got for his birthday in October a 3DS.
And
plays it exclusively with the 3D turned all the way off. Has no interest in the 3D, none.
Hmm.
And basically plays it as a DS. Just got Madden NFL on it. I find it fascinating that a 7-year-old couldn't care less about 3D in his game. Mm-hmm. I would think that would be a gee whiz awesome feature for a kid that age, but
maybe. I mean, if he likes it, he likes it. If he doesn't, he doesn't. I think as long as he finds games he likes to play on it and is using it a lot, then I mean,
I think the nature of 3D has been fairly much exposed at this point as a mechanism for struggling hardware vendors to sell more televisions because look, now this TV has 3D on it
and 240 hertz.
And dude,
because we played 240 hertz makes a difference, but I don't think the 3D does. And I've played a number of games in 3D at this point.
It can work fine, but the other day, Ariel puts on Uncharted 3 in 3D, and I'm like, yeah, it looks great. It's in 3D, and she's like, well, what's the difference? And I realized like that's the thing is that when 3D is working really great in gaming, in a 3D game. We've already been looking at 3D games for a long time. It only stands out when they do that really hard shadow box effect where it's like, wow, yeah, look at the layers. And then that's where it gets distracting.
To be fair, your experience is a little skewed because you're using that tiny little PlayStation 3 thing, right?
Dude,
the PlayStation TV?
24 inches.
Oh, wow.
I'm using the volume down
on the remote.
No, but listen.
Wait a minute.
That screen has amazing resolution and actually looks really great. I think the point he's trying to make is that 3D doesn't, it doesn't add so much more to the experience you can't get out of 2D. And quite frankly, I don't like the way that the glasses dim the colors in the picture.
I agree with that.
Well, you have to brighten the picture.
If I put the brightness at the max on that display, it's still like I was playing Uncharted, it still looked dark.
Do not judge all 3D gaming by that display.
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm not.
My 3D TV is passive. It's not active, so there's no dimming at all because the glasses are not active.
Like 3D is what you make of it in a lot of ways. Like whether you shadow box, that's one thing. If you actually are able to provide the player with some sense of depth that helps them make accurate, more split second decisions, whether that's swinging a bat at a baseball or driving a Mario Kart around a course and hitting the power slide at the right time, I think there are some uses for it. But until it's just kind of like the DS was way back in the day. How do you use touch in gaming? Everyone was like, oh, this is kind of gimmicky, but if you start really using 3D well, and I think both of the recent releases, Mario Kart and Mario 3D Land, both do a good job of using 3D to help communicate extra information, like how far away that platform is or how far away that turn is from me. There is some interesting aspects, and I think some people could take that to the next level with some very interesting game design if they wanted to push that and really make 3D a required part of the experience.
Yeah, 3D Land is a much better experience playing it in 3D rather than not playing it in 3D.
3D Land.
I mean, it's obviously a world. It's in the title, but it really does. It's an additive feature, and I mean, having seen Hugo in 3D and Avatar is the easy example as well, and Transformers
Avatar's
3,
a couple years old now,
right?
But
these are the examples of 3D used well in cinema. And I think that,
but maybe Avatar was an anomaly. Maybe Avatar was a crafted for a specific medium, sort of unique.
Absolutely, it was.
And that's what it was great.
Transformers is another. Mm-hmm. I mean, Michael Bay took it serious. I think it's a shit movie, but he took the 3D seriously. He consulted with Cameron, and they shot large sections of it, and the stuff that they converted to 3D was done with a lot of care. So, and Hugo, if you don't see Hugo in 3D, I don't think you're seeing how the movie was meant to be seen. It's a beautiful film in 3D, and I think that there's going to be examples of that in gaming as well, where these games like 3D Mario 3D Land are actually better because of the 3D. I don't think this is a feature that's going
to.
Let me ask you
to step out on a limb a little bit then. So let's look at one of the big stories of 2011. Early in the year, Nintendo 3DS went and saw it at an event in New York. Then it launched here. The launch lineup was admittedly fairly weak, right?
Much like the original DS was.
And not long thereafter, especially in terms of cycles, they did pretty much an unprecedented price slash on the hardware. And now they have a bit of a resurgence. They have a good software library to back it up. They have plenty of product in the pipeline in order to make it available to consumers. And 3DS is back on the scene. PlayStation Vita for North America is going to launch in the spring. Mm-hmm. Now it has a arguably stronger lineup at the launch date.
Undoubtedly,
especially, hands down,
especially with an Uncharted title right at launch. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen to it though? Like coming into the spring, expensive piece of hardware, a very unknown
price.
No, it's more expensive.
Well, launched.
The 3DS was $249.
No, no,
at launch. Yeah, no, same launch price.
Same launch price.
I think you're going to see,
but it's still a relatively expensive piece of hardware, right? I mean, it's the cost of a top of the line smartphone with a 2-year contract.
I think you're going to see something very comparable to the Japanese launch. I think it's going to be. I mean, if you look at that 370,000 number and go
320
or whatever, yeah, that number and go, that's solid. I think you'll feel that way about how it launches here as well. I don't think it's going to blow anybody's socks off, but I don't think it's going to do poorly either.
Didn't 3DS do solid when it launched?
It did.
Say, oh, it was solid, and then it just tailed off was the issue.
It did. And Nintendo felt a bit of desperation because keep in mind they sell their products, and they were looking at their Wii sales at the same time, which were also in decline, and saying, we need a winner. We need something to like keep pushing our name forward right. So we're not all on decline, and we're not, oh, we can't bring a product out and look like we're suffering. Could Sony fall into the same thing here of like bringing out the Vita and after that initial rush happens, be in a position of we need to show numbers that say people are buying Vita. It's awesome. You love it.
It's certainly a possibility. I think that's certainly a possibility that if it doesn't blow doors off, then it will be perceived as some sort of harbinger of the death of handheld gaming. I think it's certainly a possibility, even if that's not really the case.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the kind of thing where they came out, when they announced the price, I think everybody was shocked that the price was so low. But now with the 3DS having the price drop, it doesn't feel low anymore. And I think if they're hoping for the 3G version to be a substantial subsidized sort of helper in that way, I don't know if that's the answer either. So,
and also the 3DS could be picking up a lot of steam right now during the holiday season.
Could.
Which the Vita's missing.
Well, and they sold a lot of units on Black Friday.
Yeah, everybody does. I mean, there's nothing about that.
Right, no, but I'm saying if you're trying to get numbers across, you know what I mean? Like, especially in the American market, you have to take those, shopping cycles into effect. Like, I think the fact that Japan is getting it now and we get it in February is going to be a detriment to the sales. I think if they had released it in North America in December, they would have sold a lot more.
Jeff Cannata, before you get hauled out of here to head off into the wild blue yonder, Groundflyer threw a question to us as we close out the year, and this will be a great question for you to close out 2011 on. Would you propose any New Year's gaming resolutions? I, for one, want to beat more games and drop my bot-to-beat ratio. What's your gaming resolution, Jeff Ghana?
Oh, my goodness. You put me on the spot. My gaming resolution. I'm going to resolve to... Gosh, that's anybody else have one?
I could throw real quick.
Zab, what's your gaming revolution? Resolution.
I resolve to pay more attention to the indie space because with games like Minecraft and To the Moon and Super Meat Boy, and like the Humble Indie Bundle 4 that just now, if you buy it and pay the average, you get Humble Bundle 3 as well. They just announced today. So many amazing indie games that just get completely overlooked, and I think next year I'm going to try to focus more time on looking to see what that group of people are doing.
Buying that.
Yeah.
Jeff's got his, but they... Jeff's car is here. Jeff is bailing on us without
He resolves to leave without answering his question.
He resolves to leave without answering his question. All right, so we'll answer for him. What should we resolve for Jeff? I think we should resolve for Jeff to...
So what, many things we
What
could
kind of games should we... I think we should have him play The Sims.
All I think kinds. He already does play The Sims.
Does he?
I think he's already played it.
We should
it.
Have him play every...
Bye,
girl.
Jeff.
He should play,
bye,
you know,
Amy.
You know,
girls
you know
under
what
age
10.
Have a safe flight.
He should play more Kinect games.
Every Kinect game.
You know, I think he would actually enjoy more Kinect games. He needs to open up some space and play some Kinect games. All right, what do you guys... What are your resolutions?
My resolution is to play... one game every month from my backlog list.
One game every month from your backlog. That's a good resolution. I like that.
Because my backlog list is really
big. I'm
going
to leave without saying goodbye to everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Merry, wonderful, happy holiday. I also didn't want to leave without gloating about my awesome win on the tailgate.
Yeah.
And if anyone picks this week.
What, 2 weeks left?
I nominate James to
Email.
Make my picks for
oh,
me.
Oh, I'm picking
James
for
can
Jeff
make your picks?
This week?
Yeah.
Oh. Right.
You can text me if you want. I'll... Go.
No. You. I trust you.
Oh, and we God. Expect to get your resolutions on the first show of the new year.
I will.
All
have
right.
Have a great time. Sorry, I have to leave. Bye.
Bye.
Bye,
Happy
Jeff.
Holidays. Bye, Jeff.
Have a safe flight.
Thanks, guys.
James, resolutions?
Man, I don't know. Like, I played a lot of games this year. I felt pretty good about what I got through. I hope that I stop playing the Old Republic at some point and play some other stuff.
I think it sounds like you don't actually hope it because
right,
you're
I'm really
time.
Enjoying. I'm really enjoying the hell out of it. So that's really like my gaming existence. I guess my biggest resolution should be because I don't think it's going to happen at this point to actually play Zelda Skyward Sword since it is probably my favorite gaming franchise of all time, and the game's just been sitting there. And
playing right now, it's very good.
I'm looking forward to it. I want to play it on Dolphin so I can play it on my big screen, 1080p, and all that good stuff. So that's the hope, but I don't know if the Old Republic is going to let me go from her icy, icy grip. So we'll see.
You're in the stealth Star Wars death grip.
I'm so back into Star Wars right now. It's not funny. I was looking on the iBook store at the Old Republic companion novels last night, and I was like, "What am I doing?"
Really?
Seriously, it's bad, dude. It's so good.
How did you get to that point?
Just like, oh, I want to know more about the lore. What's going on at this time in the Star Wars universe? Are there novels they put out? Actually, I was at the bookstore. I saw it, and then I started looking online.
I know they don't necessarily need to do this because it's Star Wars and it's adored by millions. But I just went to Disneyland for the first time. Mm-hmm. Me and my girlfriend, and we went on the Star Wars ride,
the Star Tours, the new Star Tours.
Yeah,
the new Star Tours.
And I was a little surprised that there was no sort of like mention of any of the, you know, that I guess it's like you walk into there and you're in a new universe, so they don't promote things like that, but it'd be kind of cool if they tied it in with this new thing that's coming out.
Yeah, I think it was almost like, you know, like they start building that shit 3-4 years out, so
right,
so you know
right.
I mean, I remember 2-3 years ago when there was all these like all the blogs in LA were talking about how the fact they were shooting Star Wars, they're shooting all the scenes for that at some soundstage here in LA, and everyone's freaking out because there's all these stormtroopers and Mandalorians walking around somewhere. Like, what are they shooting? Like, oh, it's the new Star Wars ride. But yeah, you know, it'd be nice to see. I always like that when Lucas builds that back in and when universes do really cool stuff like that. So
you guys are really sold on the whole MMO thing, right? It sounds like you're pretty sold on it.
Yeah, I'm.
But do you think it's a Star Wars thing or do you think it's an MMO thing? Because we've had many questions about this. One of them was a question that Syndra Blanding wrote, which was that, do you think that 2012 will be the year of the MMOs like Guild Wars 2 and Star Wars The Old Republic, where they make a huge impact on WoW's player base? Or will WoW reign supreme?
I think Guild Republic's going to make an impact. I don't know. Guild Wars maybe will. It feels like Guild Wars to me has its fan base and has. I don't know if that's going to grow a ton. Maybe it will. I don't know.
Guild Wars 2 is an impressive product. I mean,
I don't know enough about it, and I don't know enough about Guild Wars.
And it's
Wars
a PC 1. Game.
Right.
Well, I don't think it's just one game or two games that are impacting WoW's subscriber base. I think it's a lot of online games. We're seeing a gigantic surge of massive multiplayer games, whether it be massive multiplayer role playing games, RTS games, online battle arena games. I mean, there's just like in all the free-to-play movement that's happening, and you're seeing almost every developer under the sun like making a free-to-play game or taking a well-known franchise and making a free-to-play version of it. I think all of those things combined, and like the advent of social games and mobile games, all of those, like, it's like a perfect storm of like, hey, WoW's not the only thing to do online anymore.
Well, is Star Wars The Old Republic available in China?
Not yet.
Or
no, I mean, I believe they've only launched it in like 4 or 5 European countries. I mean, because, yeah, I think it's just 6-7 countries total, maybe.
Because based on being on the Activision investors calls, all the drops that World of Warcraft has seen over the last few quarters has been primarily out of China and primarily out of the East. They're not seeing huge numbers falling out of North America versus other regions. So I think that to make an impact, it needs to launch in other regions as well.
And I don't know if it's the same players. Like, I don't think people... I don't know how many people play WoW for 8-9 months at a time now. I think people play WoW for a couple months, and they drop off, and they go do something else for
a few months.
Well,
that's one of the things
back
that Blizzard identified with the way you can, you know, no longer abandon, but you sort of park a character,
right,
and you don't pay for a few months, but your character's still sitting there mothballed, and you kind of take them out of hibernation and be like, oh, I can play him again.
Right, and I think that's the thing. Like, I think now, you know, they have a good rotation of whatever, however many million people in America. There's probably 4 times that, but, you know, each person's only paying 3 months of the year. And
if there's 4
back,
times that, that would be an astounding number of people.
But I think it is
it's
a 1. Huge
5
amount.
1.5 million is the number they
in North
sold.
America?
Concurrence?
I mean, wait, are we talking about Star Wars or are we talking
about
WoW?
No, WoW. But
well,
even
they said that China is their biggest region for WoW. That was what was said in the last investors call.
Well, and it all depends on how big is Star Wars in China. I don't know. I don't know if Star Wars ever made an impact there. Star Wars seems fairly universal, but I mean, if you talk about just people that want to play MMOs, and you know, yeah, there's lots of other things demanding MMO times, probably shrinking the MMO market as a whole. But if you talk about just the people playing MMOs, you have the distinct feeling right now, at least when I'm playing The Old Republic and I'm listening to the people talk about it and talk about WoW and you watch the general chat, you feel like there's a lot of people that have been ready for something fresh that doesn't feel totally foreign, has some new presentation value to it, and lets them... I mean, you have the guilds. The biggest WoW guilds are over there playing that game, and a lot of people are talking about it. Most of the buzz is really positive, and you can't help but think that's going to, you know, affect WoW's player base. Doesn't matter at this point. They're on their next... They have their next MMO coming. They have their expansions coming. WoW's still going to be huge when Pandaria comes out.
True.
And when Titan comes out. Those are going to be big, big events, and people are going to go back.
Titan. I love how you're still calling it by the code name. Titan.
No one knows
it's going to be. It's Titan.
Titan, right. But when those things happen, I think you'll see, you know, people go back to it. But in the short term, if some of the people migrate and if more people are brought into MMOs because it's Star Wars and Star Wars entices new players to come play MMOs, I think ultimately it's only going to be a good thing for Blizzard and WoW or whatever succeeds WoW.
That's the only reason why I'm even considering playing this game, besides the fact that it's BioWare and I really like what they do. But I have just
never
been an MMO player. I like Ariel said in the previous segment, I just don't have the time to commit to an MMO. But I'm willing to try this out because it is the Star Wars universe. And it's a universe that I'm familiar with and characters that I know, you know, situations and planets that you've seen in the movies, you know, and everything else. And that's really, I mean, I think that there's a lot of people like me who are on the fringe of maybe the gaming market or even the MMO space that are like, I want to try that out. It looks fun.
I think that was the missing element that a lot of these direct competitors to WoW over the years have been missing, is that known quantity that goes beyond the fact that it's a great looking MMO or it has an amazing concept. It's this Star Wars factor that's going to make a huge impact.
And with WoW, it was the Warcraft factor,
right?
Which is a great factor.
And Lord of the Rings did a pretty good job of it, but
still
it
does.
Yep,
still does.
And still,
people don't appreciate.
There are
a fuck ton of people playing LOTRO.
Yep, and
Turbine does a good job with that, and what is it, Dungeons and Dragons universe as well?
And Star Trek. I mean, the Star Trek one didn't do quite as well, but it still brought in its own fan base too.
Cryptic, yeah, it's different.
Wait till that Star Trek co-op game that they showed at E3 behind closed doors comes out. That actually looked promising.
I didn't see it, but I heard it.
It looked surprisingly promising. All right, hopefully promising to you is the last segment of this holiday weekend confirmed. Still to come. Stick around. We have a little more news. We have some sales that you might want to take advantage of while you are enjoying your holiday time off. And Andrea Renee is going to say goodbye.
Yes.
Because she doesn't love us anymore.
No, I do love you.
Whatever.
We're doing a musical host today on the holiday show. So I just want to say thank you so much to all of the Weekend Confirmed listeners for inviting me into the Weekend Confirmed family this year. It's been an amazing, amazing year. And happy holidays to everyone. And I look forward to seeing you guys in 2012.
Ciao, Bella.
Bye.
Later.
All right. We will be right back. Pyro Doomlord says, I received a Game Boy Advanced SP 1 year. It had Zelda Minch Cap, Metroid Zero Mission,
What did you just say? Minch Cap?
Minch Cap?
Minch Cap.
Do you know what that
word means?
Sadly, I do. Sadly, I do. We're just gonna like we could have gone right past that.
Memage.
Minish Cap, Metroid Zero Mission, one of my all-time favorite games, a TBS game that I can't remember, and Harvest Moon.
Thank you. A TBS game that I can't remember, and Harvest Moon. Now, I have always been the kind of person, and when I find something awesome, I have to get another person to try it. I let my mom and my sister play it, and I didn't think much of it until I started having trouble finding my GBA. It took me a while to find out, but one morning, when I went downstairs, I found my mother passed out on the couch with my Game Boy and a bottle of wine. No, sorry, just this Game Boy.
Oh, poor dude, man. Poor Pyro Doom Lord. His mom.
First, his mom bought him Minch Cap instead of Minish Cap. Yeah, and then she stole his GBA and got super hammered.
Did it have the, what was the game that had the rumble pack with the GBA?
Oh, God. Oh, God. I don't remember.
Was it pinball? Was it Metroid pinball?
It was. Wasn't the Pokemon pinball had?
Oh,
the
it was Pokemon
giant
pinball had
thing?
The giant rumble pack. Was that the game that mom stole with the bottle of wine?
It happens many times. She has countless hours on that game, and whenever we go on trips, we brought it just to pass time for her.
You got
to
catch them all.
So Andrea left. We have Ariel Angelotti back with us.
Hi guys.
What was it? One N two T's.
One N two T's. All right. Yeah, you got it right. There you go.
And to wrap things up. We have a little news before we go on to just clusterfuck of whatever we're going to talk about.
Okay.
A couple of great sales for fun. Xbox Live is having a nice sale. If you're enjoying your home time, they have both running sales and daily sales. Now, unfortunately, a number of the daily sales will have already passed by the time you hear this. However, they are running daily sales every day until January the 2nd. You can check them at Xbox.com or on the front end to the Xbox Live when you boot up your system. They also have a couple of daily deals that are okay. I mean, are deals that are running throughout. The two that stood out to me were Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet, which was a lot of fun, amazing. Even if it was a shooter clone, to a degree.
No, it's totally different.
Yeah.
It's totally different.
The entire flow of the controls.
It's twin stick shooter.
No, Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet is Metroidvania. Yeah.
It is Metroidvania.
Yeah.
And the one that I'm really curious about and actually probably would go drop 600 points on is Renegade Ops. Because everyone seems to have fun with it.
Yeah, I totally did.
The giant bomb guys got me on.
We were having this argument, like, did that even come out? Like, we forgot that it was even available. I gotta play it on Steam because I hear it looks really.
What
good.
Would you do, by the way? Well, if you were in charge of Xbox Live next year, what would you do to sort of stem this whole growing tide of there's just a game every week and it's no big. It's like, oh, there's a game this week. It's out. Okay, forgotten about.
I think they need to push originality a little bit more on that platform. The fact that they hide the indie games channel away from like
you mean
like
in the new front end
is it's a mess. Bad. The other thing is like they don't give that entire channel any respect. It's like okay, you can make an indie game, but you're not allowed to add any achievements to it whatsoever. It sort of devalues it versus other games that are on that platform. Like a regular XBLA game is 200 achievement points, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
And if you care about achievement points, that's great. But let's say if you had an indie game, if you're making an indie game and it's like a weekly indie game that they feature, like why isn't there 50 achievement points associated to it or 100? You know what I mean? Like just so it you don't push the value of it down the drain just because it's not an officially sanctioned title from Microsoft. You know
sure,
what I mean?
But now you're just talking about achievement points. It's like that appeals to such a small section of people. How do you take
this? No, but I'm saying it's like one of the ways that I feel that they devalue that entire platform that's available on their system.
I'll give you that it is a devaluation by not having them, but it's like even just adding that, does that add any value to me who doesn't give a shit about my gamer score? No,
I mean, but, for me, I don't care either, but
right.
It's just
how can we take that to the next level? How do you, I mean, it's almost like you don't know enough about those games, you don't know enough about the people behind those games, and I would love to see more coverage. Even them, they do such a great job of covering their own stuff sometimes. It's shocking they haven't done a better job of internally covering the games and the people that make those games and getting those stories out there. And, you know, obviously, though, there's something probably at the top because those games aren't a big money driver for them, so they're never going to get to the
it's
top
not,
of the
but
priority
I mean,
on top of, you know, Xbox
that,
system dash.
Yeah,
updates.
I mean, there was that Cthulhu game that was available on Steam, and they ended up making a lot. They ended up selling out more on Steam than they did on XBLA. And then, you know, I think it would be because there's so much creativity happening in that space. I think right now people are just getting to the point where, like, well, what's the point? I mean, originally it was a deal that they were making. You make an XBLA game and you or indie game, and we sort of help promote you and get you out there. And now it just seems like they're hiding them into in the darkness. So
no one ever sees those games. I wish that they would feature those games.
How well can we support a weekly game being distributed? So that's 52 games. Should we say
We can't play the regular games that come out, much less the downloadable games.
So what's the solution? Fewer games. Are you advocating fewer games?
No, I think, again, it comes back to how do you grow the market to the point that, you know, it can support it, and how do you get more consoles into people's house and get more people playing on those consoles to ultimately add more people to the console buying experience? Because, like I said, right now, the amount of console players out there and the amount of Xboxes out there and what those people play on those Xboxes won't necessarily support it, and the market's going to choose the games that they want to play and don't want to play, and that's going to mean some guys aren't going to be able to keep making those games. They're going to go make iPhone games where there's hundreds of millions of people who have the device and can buy a 99-cent game versus 50 million people. Yeah. And of that, what, 500,000 million?
Years ago, it used to be that, oh, you know, we spent so much money making huge retail games. Now we're going to make XBLA and PSN games. So we have less development time and we make more money off of them because we have the potential to sell more copies at small prices. And now that's being turned into iPhone and iOS. So you're seeing like Epic Games and Chair, they made Infinity Blade, which originally I think was supposed to be a Kinect title. I remember one of the Mustards was saying that. And then it turned into an iOS title. And that's sort of where we've trended. I mean, XBLA and PSN was so successful. But then, yeah, comes this point, like now we don't even remember what's available on that platform. And it's turning into iOS is the more dominant platform in that space of those mini titles.
And maybe, too, it's like those big franchises become more PSN franchises or XBLA franchises with shorter content. I mean, you look at, like, not to take it back to us, but Quest for Booty was gigantically successful for us.
Really?
Oh, yeah, huge. Like, one of our...
Really?
Huge. And even bigger success was not just the download figures, but you look at how we did on Blu-ray in Europe, where they sold it as a 10 euro Blu-ray on the shelf, and it could be like the impulse item. Oh, I like Ratchet and Clank. 10 euros, sure. I'll buy a 3-hour Ratchet adventure on disc. That was gigantic. So you take some of these established franchises, mm-hmm. and if you start taking that market almost down to, like, if we got the game market to $10-$20 games that were 3 hours long, and you could go pick them up like DVDs.
It
eliminates the used game market because, oh, $15. Like, by the time you sell that back to GameStop,
you don't care.
They give you $2 so that they could resell it for $10. You're like, I'll keep it for $2. If we get the market to that place, so you can either download it for $10 or you can buy it for $10 on disc, suddenly, you know,
but what would it take to get it to that point?
You know, that's...
Some companies have tried this. I mean, THQ tried this with some of their franchises. You know, they had Red Faction Battlegrounds. There was one of those, the digital games that sort of introduces people to the series with a small downloadable title to get whet their appetite for the major retail release. And that didn't work for them in that sense. And there was a Saints Row game that eventually was canceled that they were planning to do that as well. However, the thing that I think people need to keep in mind is that a lot of these experiences and people are having them on, when it comes to the iOS platform specifically, that everyone is super fucking distracted in here, and I'm going to throw something at every single one that's in this room because they keep people writing fucking notes. James Stevenson just asked me if I liked. Do you like me? Circle one, yes or no. I'm gonna write my vote in. Go fuck yourself, and then you can decide what that means, or if I'm coming on to you, or if it's something completely different.
Just to be fair,
here's my point.
Started this with playing tic tac toe.
No wait, I didn't.
No,
I didn't
we were getting it.
He was playing tic tac toe himself. For later. Whatever.
My point is this. You buy a small game like Infinity Blade 2 on the iOS platform for $7, and even some people will argue that's too much money. You have that experience for 1 or 2 hours. You're not missing that $7. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, sure. people aren't thinking or concerned. You were talking about like Ratchet and Clank, a $15 experience. If you buy it at retail for that price, it's not really going to hurt. The used game market doesn't really compete with that because it's already such a small game. I think that if you can make compelling titles like Infinity Blade 2 and sell them at little budget prices across platforms as well, that ends up
being... But that's really hard for developers. Because here's my counter-argument to that, is that Infinity Blade to me and Infinity Blade 2, not really all that compelling. You know, once I get past the whole, okay, I swipe to do the sword maneuver, and that's
once
cool.
Once you get past this beautiful on and iPad, like, I mean... Like,
it is beautiful.
That is your initial draw-in, and then sure. There's some good gameplay behind it, but it has to keep you. I think...
Pulling out my phone with its great screen and its fast speed and going, check out this YouTube video in HD I can show you. And I do it once, and then I never do it. I don't actually... pull it out to do that.
You're touching on the two directions everyone's being pulled in, though. And there's two different things we're trying to accommodate. There's one where you're using better tools to make games faster, more efficiently, new experiences on the mm-hmm. things you already have, the technology you already have, for cheaper, smaller experiences people can download, more people can access. At the same time, we're being pulled in the direction of, oh, we need better technology, more realistic worlds, more in-depth,
absolutely.
Longer adventures with multiplayer components, and people want $60, $70 packages that, you know, will engross them for months at a time, and they're going in this split, and so you're kind of like, it's splitting in one direction. If you get caught in the middle, you can't make what you used to make. You either have to make, like, the AAA blockbuster, or you have to dedicate yourself to, like, the iOS, XBLA, cheap, small games. Because in the middle, if you don't make the blockbuster, and you don't make the small game, you're stuck trying to sell a $60 game that people are kind of like, eh, and a month later, you're selling a $30 game, and you're hoping just to make your investment back so that you can make another game afterwards.
It's funny, because the same thing is happening to the iOS market, and has been happening for a while, that happened to XBLA, which is XBLA was, for the original titles, were small companies making these amazing titles, and then major publishers realized that they were making money, so they jumped into the fray and started pumping out a lot of bullshit. And then the same thing happens with major publishers on the iOS platform. A lot of really small independent companies making amazing games, making a lot of money, and then major publishers realizing, oh, we could do that too, and then coming in and then flooding the market with just nonsense too. And that happens. It happens on both sides of the fence, but I think it's a really hard. It's just a really hard argument right now. And I don't think we do need a release every single week. We certainly don't need multiple releases per week, which is something that does happen. But Microsoft is super successful, and Sony tried this year too, with their promotional platform programs, where they had Summer of Arcade.
Yeah.
And Sony did one recently. I can't remember exactly what it was called. But where they feature games in their stores. And
Well, and they also have the discount. Like, they try and encourage you to buy multiple games.
Yeah, what were you talking about? Only on PSN?
Yeah, only on PSN. Yeah.
So what happens, though, is you have this reductionist situation, right, where something starts to get popular, it gets blown up, you see a lot of different things happen, and then you start to reduce down to, oh, let's just get the good things. So now we have fewer and fewer things. But then once you're down to only the good things, you have fewer things to choose from. And so you naturally have limited the ability for the consumer to say, oh, well, I like certain sorts of things, so now there hasn't been anything for me for 3 to 5 to 6 weeks. Because we don't have a large enough ecosystem yet to support, oh, there can be 4 or 5 things that I might like to choose from right now. That's a problem. That's the challenge that, like, undermines this whole thing.
Well, and that also is affected by how the market is growing as these games are coming out as well. I mean, the people who own the platform.
The thing, too, though, is the XBLA PSN market isn't the one that's growing. It's the gaming market's growing for sure, but mm-hmm. it's growing because iPhone's growing and iPad's growing and Android's growing. Like, XBLA is growing,
and
there are more Xbox, right, Facebook especially. Like, yeah, there are more Xbox owners out there, but, you know, really the big growth, and so there's probably some incremental growth, but the big growth in the market is in the new platforms and not necessarily the current consoles.
I think Facebook is very tricky. I mean, Facebook is predicated on games that are simpler than browser-based because of what...
For now.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see where it is, you know, 4 or 5 years in the future.
I mean, one of the things we
said... Do you think someone like Facebook is going to actually develop, for instance, an API for game? Or...
I think as we get closer and as more people continue to do it...
I mean Google has... Look at Square step into the Google world.
Look at fucking Chrome.
You can play Bastion on Chrome now.
Yep, for sure.
You can play Bastion on Chrome. That's ridiculous.
Yep. But I think even in the current context of what a Facebook game is and how you must develop a Facebook game, it is possible. And one of the things we said we were going out to do and we're still working on our Facebook game is we think you can make a Facebook game with the depth of a console or handheld game. And it's possible to do. And that's one of our goals for our game is to do that. And
but
so we'll see.
What market are you going after in that sense? Are you going after the people who already know
Secrets.
Insomniac and already know...
We're going after people that like to play games. I mean, ultimately, you know, so, and hopefully there's people that play Facebook games. There's our fan. Obviously, we always want to get our fans. Mm-hmm. Hopefully there's people maybe that play console games and have never looked at a Facebook game that check ours out because they think, you know, we might have the depth. We'll see how that goes.
James, not to put you on too much on the spot.
Sure.
And so if it is, you can just say, hey, piss
I
off
can't talk
and,
about
and
it,
go
yeah,
away.
Sure.
So what's interesting to me is that I feel like as someone who's an ad, obviously I'm very into social media. I'm very into, you know, the different forms of interactions we have with our community.
Yep.
You know, we can confirm it is a great way for us to talk to the people who are on Shack, and Shack has Chatty, which is another great way to interface with people. So there's all different ways to do things, right? You guys did Global Resistance.
Yep.
And Billy loved Global Resistance. But it seems like so far there hasn't been a game on a console that takes really full advantage of the fact that I have a cell phone with me that accesses the net all the time. I'm on the web all the time. I'm doing all these things. Do you guys remember Majestic?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Like you get shit on your fax machine in that
game. Yeah.
So it was obviously so far ahead of its time that it makes the X-Files look like it was modern and knew what it was doing.
Right.
Why has no one said, here's all the things we have accessible to us now. Here's all the social media tools we have. Here's all the outlets we have. Let's do those things. Because what typically happens now is that there might be an idea. But the idea is, oh, let's do a Facebook game, or oh, let's do a social media thing. And it becomes an outside venture that then becomes a burden on the game dev team. So here's this game dev team. So let's say here's the Sly Cooper team. And the Sly Cooper team is building their game for PlayStation 3. And it's a cool game. And they think of all these cool things that could happen. And then people start developing, well, here's a social game we could do. And here's something we could do on Facebook. And here's some Twitter stuff we could do. And those become separate teams. And then what happens is the guys who are making the game are sitting here building the game. And someone comes to the writer as they're in the, you know, like third or fourth milestone towards getting finished and says, hey, we're working on this social game. And the writer looks at him and says, what the fuck? I've got a freaking project here to finish. Would you get the fuck out of my office?
I think in some
why
cases,
is it like that?
I think in some cases.
But James, it's like that, isn't it?
It is. Well, it is because.
Why is it still like that?
Well, I'll give you two quick reasons. One is A, when you're starting to do all kind of the crazy brand stuff, extending the brand.
But it's not brand. Think of it more as game, not brand.
You have to put it as part of the initial product if you're developing it. But what you're talking about is a lot of times is you're pitching a game to someone, you're trying to sell them on a budget for your game, you have so many people, you're an expert at making a console game or a downloadable game, you're not an expert at making the Facebook game and all these other aspects
sure.
to it. You know you want to do that, and even if you know you want to do that, who the hell do you have to do that in-house? And does your creative director really have time to spend time overseeing it?
No, they don't. And, no, I understand they
right.
don't. That
so
I understand.
That's, I think, the issue here is they're not, you know, a lot of times you're not coming at it from this holistic initial mindset of we're going to do all these things, we're going to pitch all these things, and we want someone to pay for all these things. We're going to build all that into our team because most teams don't have any of that. And so, you know, you get a year into a project, you get past a prototype phase, and people are like, oh, it'd be really cool if we could do this. Well, yeah, that'd be great. So let's hire some agency to help us out with it. And I do think teams are doing it better than, you know, oh God, who is this guy yelling at me? I need to help him out. I think people want to be involved. They want to have the iOS game. They want to have those other elements. I think EA's done a pretty good job with like what they did with Dead Space and some of the, you know, extended media. But at the same time, you don't want to take the core competency of your team, which is making, in the case of like Dead Space, they make a really fucking good survival
so how do we evolve the core competency to
include
be...
all those things?
Exactly.
Well, you know, I think that's a natural evolution of teams as they start adding in people that specialize in those various components.
Because I want to play a game. I want to be involved in a game world that is rich enough that I play the core game experience on whatever I play it on, but that I still have the rest of the engagement throughout, that I'm engaged with it through my Facebook, that I'm engaged with it when I'm like I sit at my desk and eat a salad while I'm having my lunch so I can get like a 20-minute lunch. But during my 20-minute lunch, it would be cool if I could like do something that was engaged in the game. I would
right.
be fucking into that as shit. I would be
you
want like,
to be
really
able to customize and increase your
something.
Power up through
yeah,
your phone
whatever it
or
is.
Your computer.
Or I can get part of the narrative there. Or I can get part of the back history. Or I could get like a character story. Like But I want it to be not a, here's something we shuttled off to an extra team and they did after the fact. And but I also understand that it can't be something where at the last minute someone comes to the creative director and says, hey, I need you to tell me how to write this part of the story. Because the creative director's gonna look at you and go, are you freaking nuts? I'm on deadline.
Right.
Well, I honestly think that it's gonna people are gonna start caring when it starts making money. This is
and that's the key. Yeah. Like, it always comes back to, there's someone at the top who's sitting there writing the fucking check, and he's like,
well, so it'll make money when someone does it right.
Well, and chicken and the egg, as it always is. Mm-hmm. It'll take someone bold to say, I'm going to spend the money, and I'm going to hire the 10, 15, 20 people to make that part of the game reality, and then when the game does really well, other people will start
to
emulate
spend the money on fucking marketing ARGs, which are ridiculous.
Well, this is the thing that as a consumer, when I see those Facebook games, and this is just my perception of it, and the reason why I've never played them is because they always feel like these concepts born out of pushing the marketing agenda versus actually this team trying to make a compelling game on Facebook. Like, for me, it's like, oh, you know, we have the new Dragon Age game on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't seem like, oh, wow, you've made a really great Dragon Age game because I love Dragon Age, more than it sounds like, oh, you want me to know about Dragon Age, so you've compiled a bunch of Dragon Age related nonsense so you can throw that at me at Facebook because you know I check my Facebook.
But I thought that was one of the better examples.
I understand what you're saying.
No,
though.
But this is my perception of it.
Sure.
This is not what I'm saying that may be the reality.
Have you tried playing Pixel Junk Monsters online?
No.
Okay. Well, this is a game that Q Games has built from the ground up. Specifically,
and this is
for.
Right. And I think
it's a core
in
idea.
This space,
and reimagined it. Yeah.
I think people
right
listening
play
to this show who hear Facebook games and get disgusted by it have the perception that they're not made games for that platform that are trying to be good games versus just a thing that is built in order to push the marketing agenda of a franchise.
I understand
that's
that
the big deal.
Yeah.
That's the big deal, is they've been made to push the marketing agenda and not just be an interaction point. And that was one of the things, like Global Resistance was cool, and it was like a baby step, but there was so much more it could have been.
Sure, and Global Resistance was, we designed it in-house, someone else
which
built
is
the
cool
game, and when I say designed it, I don't mean to say we designed the entire thing. We designed the initial pitch for it, some of the ideas for it, and then we hired an agency to help execute it, and they did a ton of the work. And
which makes me sad, because
it.
You guys could have done way better than an agency could have.
Right, well, and I mean, again, though, who was going to do it? And maybe we could have done a better job. Obviously, like, we learned a ton from it. I think people really appreciate it because, again, it wasn't a marketing thing. We used it in marketing. We marketed it as something interesting, but it was its standalone thing. And unfortunately, my resistance was down for a long period of time over the last month. But I think it'll be back up by the time folks are listening to this, and hopefully people can get back in and play it, because there was a dedicated group of people that love playing the shit out of that game. And that shows you it's good, because it wasn't something just to get you to market it. Yes, it tied into the game in a marketing aspect, because you could unlock stuff for the game to try and encourage people to play it. But people really appreciate the game for what it is. And I think more of that, you know, you don't want to make people play something that's not fun just to get something for the game. You want them to go and have a great experience, and
absolutely,
then if it unlocks something in the game, that's a bonus that helps tie the whole universe together.
So, interestingly, no platform is better poised to take advantage of this than Sony, arguably, with Vita, which has a great handheld platform for serious gaming coming out, support for Android, which they've like really jumped completely on board with. And they can always do web. Anybody can do web. Anybody can do HTML5 and PlayStation 3. So they pretty much have the entire blanket spectrum where someone to want to do a comprehensive across all platform, across all media presentation, that would be the platform on which you could do it.
Yeah.
Could be interesting. It'll be interesting to see who. It's a blank canvas.
It's a ballsy thing. Like, it would be an all-in sort of gamble. But I think you have to make that sort of all-in gamble to really advance things. To say, I'm going to do something that's going to be amazing. It's going to be a fantastic immersive world. It's going to be an engaging performance. It's going to be something that I'm going to grab people, and they are never going to have experienced anything like this before, and they're going to love it. It's going to be fantastic.
I just hope that they make it really easy for developers, small or large, in order to submit things to that platform, like an iOS. Like, because the minis program, I'm not entirely sure how that works exactly, but I think that if you can support the development community on that platform, they could end up starting a fire, sort of like iOS did.
So, guys, as you wrap up the holiday events here, I'm going to give you the same question. You going to make resolutions?
Didn't I already make one?
You need to make a new resolution.
Damn it.
My resolution was already awesome.
It wasn't resolution. Which it wasn't often awesome enough. I mean, it's kind of that, or I'm looking at that, or we could, right. You know, you wanted so.
I didn't get my resolution.
To be fair, we were going to do bold predictions, but we decided to put bold predictions off until the first week of January.
Yeah.
just in order to have time to consider them and really be stupid and say some really, really dumb shit. Because we like to say some dumb shit. It's kind of good for us. What would you like to resolve?
I would like to resolve my tendency to play last year's games this year.
What are you going to do with last year's games?
Well,
burn them.
No. You're going to burn play so many fire games this year, you're going to catch up and get ahead of
this
year's
games. Yeah, exactly what I have to do, which is going to be a hefty undertaking, but I'm up to the challenge.
Use your break wisely.
Okay, I will. I will.
Don't start playing the older one.
Zeb, you're going home. You're going home. What are you going to do for your break?
Well, visiting a lot of people, and in terms of, I'm not really doing any gaming while I'm away, although I am bringing our office Alienware Mac or laptop so I can play some, it's not Mac, it's just a PC laptop, to play some games. I will say that for a resolution for next year, I would like to focus a little bit more and support things like Child's Play, which is something that I don't think we give enough attention to. Desert Bus for Hope, we totally missed that happened already. Things like that. I mean, Humble Indie Bundle is a great program because it allows you to buy games, amazing games, for cheap. But they do support things like the American Red Cross Association and Humble Indie and Child's Play as well. And, you know, Play for Japan, we mentioned it already. Still, there's relief to be made there. The Philippines apparently was just hit with a disaster, I believe, today. So I think over 900 people have died. I believe it was a landslide. I just saw quick tweets about 900 people have died in the Philippines. I'm not entirely sure what happened. But, you know, we are fortunate that we like to sit here and complain about, you know, video games and things like that. But there are a lot of people out there who need some help. So if we can enjoy what we enjoy and plus give back, that would be an amazing thing.
Mine seems so shallow now.
Just scream it. Hey-o.
I already had one, but this is another one that will please Garnet. I resolve to hopefully, well, no, I'm not going to, I'll resolve to have more and more regular episodes of the Full Moon Show this year to discuss the development of not only our Facebook game, but Overstrike. And
nice.
That will be my resolution because I do miss doing it. And last year was insane with two major games. This year will be busy too, but hopefully we can get some more podcasts going from Insomniac because I know people miss it and I miss it. It's fun to do. I like podcasting. I love being here with you guys, and it is a blast to be here with everyone.
We will make James a regular for the coming year.
I'm excited.
He's part of the team, part of the Insomniac and Clever Games and Weekend Confirmed and whatever the hell else it is team.
The people that like to get together and talk about games into microphones while Brooklyn edits our sound into awesomeness for 2 hours every Thursday.
I got nothing.
Really? You yelled at me to come up with another one and you got nothing.
I do want to give quick props to your shirt though. I didn't realize what it was until this last segment. Like I finally just started like looking at it. Like, what is that, a tree on a station wagon? And then I saw
on a station wagon. It's
Little National Lampoon's Family Christmas, which we just watched this past, I think it was this past week.
It is the tree on the family truckster.
Every year, my wife and I have a tradition where we give each other a Christmas movie at Thanksgiving. So we give each other a new Blu-ray of Christmas movies that we watch each year, kind of get into Christmas spirit.
God, you guys must be down to like Jingle All the Way or something like that.
No, it's only been going for like 3 years. Okay. So we did discuss this year, like, oh shit, we're running out of Christmas movies fast. Maybe we should cut this down to one Christmas movie between the two of us every year. But this year, I got National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, which was fantastic.
I'll just say that, life's better than it's ever been before.
Aww.
And I'm just going to leave it at that. And she's here. So wrapping it up, AJ Guy says, I remember when my dad got my brothers and I a PS2 for Christmas. And he saved these three gifts for each of us in gift bags for last. He handed them to us and asked that we open them at the same time. He then told my brothers that he had mixed theirs up and to switch them. But no, wait. Now I had the wrong one. And after we switched about five times or so, we finally reached in and pulled out PS2 controllers. We then looked up to see my dad holding a PS2 box. Oh. Of course, he didn't realize we needed a four-player adapter
for four controllers. Oh. I was about to say, I'm like, is that only have two controller ports?
Oh.
Remember those days?
Yeah.
We do, AJ Guy. Hopefully,
you remember having to actually plug controllers into the system.
That was kind of BS.
Oh, it was kind of BS.
Those days, that was BS.
It was kind of BS.
Your dog would run through the living room and destroy a console.
You kind of destroyed my whole dramatic reading there.
But sorry.
It's still kind of good, though. It's like, oh, Dad, did you get the four? Oh.
I just wish he hadn't left out, like, the blood that was still on the PS2 box as he had pried it from someone's hands at the store. If it was the first
four, serious. All right, so that's it. Happy holidays, everybody. We're going to take a very brief break before we come back and let James.
I'm filling in for Jeff, and I'm the backup quarterback here, and I'm a little scared. My picks actually count this week against someone's record. That's scary.
He's in lead.
I know. I have to defend his lead. I'm like coming in trying to run the clock out, save the season.
So the interesting thing that Dave's pointing out is that Dave is in desperation mode. The reason we're actually following through with this is that should Dave successfully counter every single choice that James makes with the opposite and win all of them, he will win.
So does that mean we kind of vary the order of the picks, but Dave gets to go after me every single time.
Dave gets to go after you every time, single time, and by necessity, he has to pick.
Which is bullshit, he says.
So basically, he has to take the opposite of every pick you take, because that's the only way he can win. The only way he can win is to take the opposite of everyone you take.
Should we start the tic-tac-toes up?
Yeah, let's
do
it.
Let's do this now.
All right, to the music break.
And by the way, everyone, hope you have a fantastic holidays, Hanukkah, whatever else you might be celebrating, which is Hanukkah's done, but Hanukkah and
Merry Christmas. The big one.
The big one.
You did that.
Thanks so much for joining us.
God damn it.
Thank you so much for your support throughout 2010, 2011, and all the way back to 2000. And yeah.
See you in the Old Republic.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. We're Ghost. The same line too. You'll get my voice heard over these airwaves. All I gotta do is get me some airplay. Show you that I love you. Show you that I care. Show you that I listen. Show you that I'm here. I sold you all of that. I sold you everything. I gave my all to y'all. Following those are three rings. You know more about me. Anyone will ever know. In my love for you, I'll never let it go. Everything I ever wanted. Everything I ever needed. But I'm still struggling. Still competing for your love. Your heart. And you, always be together, never be apart. Even from the early start, I'll do anything for you. All right, there's really only two people that count here. Although I would like to say, in defense of my poor record, that of four Yahoo leagues in fantasy football, I am in the Super Bowl for three of them.
Freaking A.
That's right. Freaking A. And in one of them, I might actually have some benefit from that.
Can I just point out that Zav is a better tic-tac-toe player than I am?
How do you lose a tic-tac-toe?
You cannot lose a tic-tac-toe.
You're scaring me now. There's loserish at the table.
I don't know.
All right, so James.
So
we've kind of pre-screened them, but in week 16, the first pick you have to make is a New York stalemate, Giants and the Jets. Where are you going?
J-E-T-S, Jets.
Oh, shit, right there. That's one. That's one for Del Rio. Del Rio's got the Giants. Dave, do you want
to? Dave doesn't even have to say. He just gets.
He's got
to
go.
Dave gets my opposite.
So Dave gets
the only way he can win is by taking my opposites.
I finally now, defeated Zav.
Here, that's right. Well, he could come out. Whoa.
You could take all my picks to try and put him in the last.
So I'm taking, by the way, you just go ahead and pencil it in.
I'm picking for Brooklyn Garnett and Jeff Kaneda against Del Rio.
Exactly. So, Kaneda?
Is that what I said?
You did say that.
I blame the...
So, two A's, one D.
Hope he doesn't actually listen to the show for real.
He does.
Well, he is getting on a plane to Canada.
So, you have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Who knows what the hell they're up to? And Cam Newton, fantasy football stud extraordinaire, and nobody else knows what the hell whoever else is on their team.
Well, it's Josh Freeman for Tampa Bay, who Nebraska made their bitch. But I do have to give a shout out to my homeboy.
Hold on, who are you taking?
I'm giving a shout out to my homeboy, David Ellis, as I take the Carolina Panthers at home.
So I got to tell you, Del Rio.
Have fun with the Buccaneers, Del Rio.
Here's the tough one. You got to cross your fingers on this one, because he just took the Carolina Panthers. No, you might not have. You might not have.
I don't think he lost.
You never know. You never know. It could work out. And then finally, in a big blowout, in a classic matchup here in the Southeast, Atlanta Falcons, New
here
Orleans
in
Saints.
In the Southeast?
No, in the Southeast.
No, I thought you said here in the Southeast.
New Orleans?
Oh, yeah. I have to go in New Orleans. Like, Enjoy the Falcons, Del Rio. I'm going with the Saints.
Falcons will have something to play for, and Saints won't.
So
Saints will already be in.
Saints are better, and it's at home.
They'll already be in.
Maybe. Hey, I like to keep it interesting.
All right, so you're taking the Saints.
All right, so let's move to Week 17.
Moving on to Week 17, we have the rivalry of the team that used to be in Houston and the team that still is in Houston.
I'm picking
with Stevenson, so I can be ahead of you. Dude, I just want to finish ahead of you. It is totally bullshit. I totally admit it is completely bullshit, but it's good bullshit. So first off, we have Tennessee-Houston.
I'm going to take Houston. I like Houston. I think they're better spot. What?
Tyler Yates?
Yeah.
Really?
Give
You're full shit.
Yates. I like Houston to take down Tennessee.
All right. Then we have pretty much the NFC East Championship game. Part one.
Dallas
goes into New Meadowlands to take on the Giants.
Giants bounce back from losing to the Jets, which I picked in Week 16, and defeat the Dallas Cowboys, Garnett's team, who he now has to pick against his own team because he's following my picks.
Tony Roma.
he did not make the ribs.
Finger looking good.
Wait, this one's mine.
Tony Roma. She probably gets you with that all the time, huh?
Curses foiled again.
Zev beat me.
I beat her.
Last but not least.
West Coast still battle. Going on,
classic,
huh?
Classic West Coast battle.
Well, it's 2 weeks worth of picks this week.
Chargers Raiders.
Give me the Chargers.
I thought you were going to say
San Diego Super Chargers.
Wait, there was something that I wanted to make fun of. Oh, yeah. Atlanta. You already did that, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yes.
And I missed it.
What'd you
make
fun of? You
were too busy playing tic tac toe.
Damn it.
What were you going to make fun of?
I was going to make some kind of joke about peaches versus
shrimp.
No, beignets.
Peaches versus and who is going to win?
You beignets.
Beignets.
Gotta like. You could have peach syrup with your beignets.
Oh, the tiebreaker game, well, as I bishop informed from the booth, is Hawks and Niners.
Well, I would take the Seahawks just to fucking mess with Del Rio.
But
because he's a Seahawks fan, I'm a 49ers fan. The 49ers are by far a superior team. 49ers crushed the Seahawks. So even if I fucked up the other six picks,
do you hear what he's saying?
The Niners will seal this.
Do you want to side bet this? Do you want to side bet it?
Side bet? Seahawks
side bet?
The 49ers?
Side bet?
No.
Side bet, fellas.
I have logic that will trump this.
Logic?
Oh,
what
shit.
Is that?
Logic.
The 49ers were people that used to go searching for gold, right?
Or 7x7.
Okay, yeah. No, but it was the 49ers for people heading to California to search for gold, right?
Okay.
So, but there's also the 7x7 thing.
Really?
San Francisco is 7 square miles. It's
Seriously?
7x7, and it's 49ers.
Okay, I'll have to look that up. But anyway, Eagles can easily, like, swoop in and steal the gold away.
Seahawks.
Seahawks.
Oh,
shit. Okay, the Seahawks.
Logic, everyone!
The Seahawks can swoop in.
That's not a seabird. That's not a seabird. That's a chicken.
Can steal the gold away?
Seahawks beat the Ravens. Ravens beat the Niners. Ergo, what?
ABC. Are you really trying that shit?
The transitive property.
A squared plus B squared equals C squared. Hence.
No, that's A implies B implies C implies A or whatever
right.
The fuck it is.
So back to Ariel's logic, which was the Seahawks are swooping in to steal.
And they're stabbing out the 49ers'
the
eyes.
The Golden Nuggets.
The Gold Nuggets.
Yeah, so therefore they win.
And therefore they
Aren't
win.
The Golden Nuggets in Sacramento?
There was gold all across.
This is about as logical as when I picked based on Laverne and Shirley last week or a couple of weeks ago.
That was excellent. If only you had known Laverne and Shirley.
Yeah, I don't.
Canada.
We're going to do it. Yeah. Come on. Let's sing.
And what was the other one? Oh, I based another pick on
Give us any chance we'll
Perfect
take it.
Strangers.
Yeah. Perfect Strangers.
Yeah, this is how I pick. Who's the Boss was one of them. No, I requested Who's the Boss to be used, but no one could think of a Who's the Boss thing.
So there you have it. If you've stuck with us this far, mazel tov.
And good luck to my Nebraska Cornhuskers in the Capital One Bowl on January 2nd.
By the way,
would
someone
Carolina.
Wish me luck? Because I'm one game away in three leagues from at least winning one league this season.
Oh, shit.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Give
me
luck
one
winning
season.
Your league. I hope you win lots
one
of money
league.
From that.
Yeah. There's one that I could actually might win some not dollars that would be taxable.
All right.
Never admit that publicly.
Of course not.
Of course not. It's just stuff. All right. We will be back in 2012. Thanks very much, everybody. We really, really, really appreciate you following us. Please come by Shack News. I'll be checking out the threads. Zav will be in Toronto.
We have a Christmas show after this, too.
Or New Year's. New Year's.
For we have a New Year's show, yeah. 30th, which we recorded 30th. Earlier and was yeah. far more sober.
Yes.
Because it was recorded earlier.
So you are going to get another show after this one.
That's just the way it know. Works. And then we'll be back in the first of the new year with all of your holiday wrap-up. Please tell us your stories. Great stuff you got for Christmas. All the fun stuff you've been doing over the break. Thanks very much. Until next week, or the week after next. That's it.
Weekend Confirmed is brought to you by the Gamefly app, the must-have app for gamers. The app is free and available now for iPhone, Android, and Palm mobile devices.